views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good evening. You are tuned in to BTR News. This is Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines that we call USA Inc. Today is, of course, my first broadcast of this new calendar year that they call in 2017. So shout out to the Black Talk Radio listening audience, and a shout out to those who listen to us on the other platforms. At towards the end of 2016, we branched out to YouTube live streaming, and shortly after the new year, we started with the Facebook stream. So we're just increasing our ways of reaching the masses of with the black perspective. I can't speak for the other hosts on the network, but I can speak for myself. So I'm always coming from a black perspective in a system of racism that is based on slavery. So welcome to the first broadcast of BTR News. Glad that you could take some time out to join us. I have put out some information, some promo information about a few days ago about what my first broadcast would be about. And since, you know, President Obama, he has less than 2 weeks left in his administration, really less than that, but that's the official swearing in of Donald J. Trump as the next CEO of USA Inc. So let's do a review. Let's look back at Mr. Obama's legacy, the good, the bad, the ugly. Now, I can't speak for some of the callers who may chime in. I can't speak for anybody else, but I view, again, Barack Obama, I do not view politicians working for the corporation known as USA Inc. I do not view them in the lens of color, of skin color. I view them in the lens of job title. And his job title is CEO of USA Inc. And job number one was to save the empire, because it was pretty much crumbling when he came in the door. Bush handed him this package called the bailout. He pretty much went along with it. I wasn't privy to any kind of backroom conversations about passing TARP. But he pretty much, that legislation, whoever initiated, pretty much it was like giving the empire emergency resuscitation, you know, like they shocked him with the paddles or something. And It's been moving along. It's struggling. And, of course, the corporate and state propaganda is going to make you think that, hey, the stock market is setting new records, and still the same problem exists with the concentration of wealth in very few people's hands and corporations' hands. And, of course, they view corporations as people, too. And it's not trickling down. Jobs, not real jobs, are being created. A job without benefits, without insurance, there's plenty of those being created, service industry jobs. But real jobs, like back in the 50s, 60s, maybe even I would say here in North Carolina, where you have a bunch of mill towns when cotton was still king in the South, those were seen as good jobs. Those mill factory jobs, pretty much those have closed. So, of course, he has a mixed bag in terms of legacy. But also, I don't speak for other people, Anyone who calls into the program or chats with us in our private chat at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Got to have one location. Can't monitor everything, so it just makes it easier on the engineers and the host of programs if we have one location, even though we're streaming out to several platforms. So it's not that I'm ignoring anyone. It's that I don't see your comments unless they are in our private secure chat room at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. So I know a lot of people have their own opinions, but again, in terms of this man, in terms of how Scotty Reed is going to judge him, it's not just going to be about him. It's going to be about, I don't know how many people work in the executive branch of the of USA Inc. He's just a chief executive officer of the executive branch, not of the judiciary, not of the legislative body known as Congress. So he's just a president of actually one third of government. So I don't know where these people get. Well, I do know where people get the idea that that's the most powerful position on the face of the planet. But that's usually if you have the other two thirds, at least another, you know, third, where then you have the two thirds to get you to go along with it. And the Supreme Court only comes in when somebody challenges some unconstitutional law, like some people should be filing some lawsuits for the portion of the NDAA, that's the National Defense Authorization Act, a yearly piece of legislation funding the military where they attach all this other legislation to it. And attached to this one was an attack on independent media, the type of independent media that many of us have come to rely on for real news. When we're looking for media that is not going to be biased towards the U.S. government, or it's not going to be biased towards one political party, where it's not going to be biased towards any book or group, but looks at and analyzes what's happening objectively. Now, of course, again, this is a black network. We target a black audience. Of course, other people are free to view. Who can stop you? I certainly can't stop anybody from listening. But so those who may chime in, it may be personal to you, his legacy. You may feel the need to defend him on some things. And if you're one of those persons, or if you want to, bring up a pro versus a con, feel free to chime in tonight. That's what we're going to handle during the first hour of BTR News. Again, we are broadcasting in our new time slot. We have gone from a 4-day a week program to a once a week program, a 2-hour program, a weekly program. And I announced that to our contributors and our donors and those who subscribe to Black Talk Radio News. And I got a few emails of people expressing, you know, displeasure that it would not be on air as often. But again, I wear several hats. I'm not just a radio personality. I'm not just a newscaster in new media. I'm the founder and the platform manager for Black Talk Radio Network, as well as managing the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, which you can find at blacktalkmediaproject.org. And I believe that in 2016, we had tremendous growth. We reached, in terms of our reach, either through digital radio or through web traffic to the platform Black Talk Radio Network, and including our reach on social media platforms. We reached numbers that we had never reached in our 8-year existence, I have to say. And that was all from organic growth. It was, you know, for those who understand the terms, the industry terms, and web analytics, it's all organic. It means that we did not pay for ads for all the traffic. So most of our traffic was organic. That means that you either saw something from our platforms on existing social media networks, which You know, by the way, black people, we're on Facebook and Twitter more than we're anywhere. Shout out to Twitter. We're also streaming live on Twitter. We do need to take advantage of new media, but most of it has been organic growth, meaning that people share the media that we're producing or told other people, word of mouth, basically. Now, during the last year, we did make an effort. We even launched a special fund for people to contribute to market directly to Africa and the African diaspora. So we target a couple of countries, specifically in Africa, Ghana, number one. Also, Jamaica was the other one. And we got some good responses on social media. So we did spin towards that, but that was not, you know, to become more popular in the United States, because we're already popular in the United States. And we're trying to build a line of communication that Malcolm X talked about, and this nonprofit was founded on his vision or his suggestion of opening up a line of communication between black people, no matter where they are on the planet. And so with my background in the military, in communications, I certainly got that principle and understood that principle, also understood what would be needed in today's world to make that happen. And so I just want to thank everybody and to those who were kind of, you know, sad about the program not coming on 4 days a week, is because I need to grow the network. I need to fulfill our mission to help other black people who want to take control of the media, instead of allowing other people to take control of media targeting us and also be in control of our images and our conversations. So that is the mission of our nonprofit, to help those people. And I actually, to that, as I get this network news for, we get into our main topics and some of the other news that happened this week that I want to share in the next 2 hours with you. But this morning was the first day that I held a public webinar. It was not advertised or marketed towards the public, but it was for our existing clients, our new media clients who use any of our services, and also our donors, our people who donate to our nonprofit. And so as I sent that out to them this morning, we had a webinar where we just focus on answering your questions about new media, but focusing specifically on 3 areas. That is WordPress content management systems. The other is podcasting, as well as digital radio, whether that's just a digital radio stream or whether it is managing a digital radio station. And just any questions that our clients, some of them already have their own platforms that we've helped them build and we host for them as they utilize our services. So we already have some people out there, some success stories, I would say. And today we will be launching a new station. Well, it has already launched, but another independent black radio station comes into the fold out of Dallas, Texas. That's Change Matters Solution. They had a 1-hour program that came on Tuesdays, but the host, Kenny Hendricks, saw the possibilities, the opportunities in new media for black people. So he learned the technology, and so he was able to stream successfully today in the webinar. And so I like to think that every time the Black Talk Media Project helps a independent black media producer launch a radio station, that Malcolm X is smiling wherever he may be gathered with the ancestors. So is there any other network news that I want to get to? So I just have a lot to do. It was never about just one person. Our mission is about elevating black voices. And I think we have done a pretty good job of it over the last 8 years. But there's always room for improvement. Not going to be celebrating or taking a pause or going on vacation, because the system never goes on vacation. So neither can we. And so I will be continuing to focus more of my efforts behind the scenes and growing the network and helping more people become media entrepreneurs and propaganda masters, which I make no secret about. That's what we are engaged in. We are engaged in counter propaganda media. What are we countering? We're countering not only state-sponsored propaganda, but racist propaganda meant to spread the religion of white supremacy. So before I get into some of the topics, let me just give out those numbers again. If you would like to chime in with a question or you have a comment during the next 2 hours, you want to offer a pro that something good that Barack Obama has done or something good that was beneficial to people and black people specifically that you would like to mention that you don't think he's getting any credit for, then by all means, because certainly the White House has been putting out their propagandas talking about what he has done. I actually caught them in, let's just call it, let me be codified, let's say it's a misprint. Let's not say they just straight up lied about the $2 billion that he provided to the, what do they call it, the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition, whatever the rest of the acronym stands for, food stamps in short, EBT. But I'm like, wait a minute. Now, that's on his website right now as he's going out the door talking about his legacy. So I'm like, wait a minute. Now, I know I would report the news, and I reported news where you signed bills into law that cut food stamps. Okay, you're going right along with the Republicans, and you've done this ever since the Republicans come in power. So how can you say your legacy is providing $2 billion towards food stamps when you coming out, okay, you put it in this particular program, hid it over there or whatever, but the bills you signed into law, you got a net loss there. So again, I'm a journalist. Facts do matter to me. And they should matter to the U.S. government, but my study of history has shown that oftentimes it does not. It is whatever their agenda is, and the agenda is to paint this pretty picture and legacy of CEO Obama. Now, I'm not saying he hasn't done some good things for some people. There are some people classified as and self-identified as some Native Americans out there, and they got some reparations of particular tribes who had a dispute with the Land Management Bureau because they have treaties and whatnot with USA Inc. going back to the 1800s, and they're saying y'all been stealing the natural resources, mismanaging it, and this and that. We're saying you owe us this, and yes, the Obama administration did settle that. The Bureau of Land Management and Resources is under the executive branch, totally within its power to do that. So you, if you are one of those people, you'd be like, yeah, I have a fond memory of the CEO of USA Inc. And you won't really be concerned about the other stuff and who did not get what or who got something done to them that was unjust, like the people in Libya. All right. So, but again, I'm not on here to bash. I'm on here to take an objective look. All things considered, as the NPR, National Public Radio Propaganda Network, says, title of one of their programs, all things considered, but what is this legacy of this administration? Guess it's dependent upon who you ask, right? So let me give out those numbers in case you would like to chime in. Those numbers, if you do not see them in the description before you, that number is 866, as we've changed numbers, it's 866-510-9025. There is no PIN needed. That's 866-510-9025. That'll put you in. A lot of people just call in to listen, but anytime you want to make your views known, just hit ** on your keypad, and I will see you on the board. And make sure the board is working properly. Yes, it is working properly. So we all good on the communication in here. So let's get into, before I get into breaking down the number 44, the 44th CEO of USA Inc., as he's also known, what is his legacy? And if you're seeing something that says the first, quote, black president, I'm putting black in quotations because that is a label and a term that black people who self-identify as black have assigned to him. It is not one he has assigned to himself, not speaking publicly. He came in campaigning saying that he was everybody's president. So I do understand that there is no such thing as a black first black president. This is a CEO, another CEO of USAE. So that's why that's in quotation. But again, we do target a black audience. And so therefore, a lot of us use different terms and different phrases. So there's no confusion about why I'm using the word black in quotations. Okay, so some of the other news that I'll get to after I play a couple of videos for you so that you can hear Mr. Obama in his own words. Some of the other news that we'll share during the second hour. Apparently, Dr. Boyce Watkins of Your Black World Media Empire has been banned for 30 days from Facebook. We shared the story. Max Parthas, a host of New Abolitionist Radio and a black media producer, independent in his own right with Prismatic Dreams and the North Star and everything that Brother Max does with websites and through social media. But he sent me a video today, or I saw it this morning. He might have sent it yesterday, but I saw it today. And it's a video of Dr. Watkins on his YouTube channel. I probably would have came across it later because I'm subscribed to his YouTube channel. You can find our YouTube channel on Black Talk Radio. Shout out again to those who's watching the live stream. I'm subscribed, so I probably would have seen this once I checked my subscription. But he said that he was banned from Facebook. And I'll let you hear the video yourself. Very short video. But he was banned for 30 days. And he said that black people should create their own social media platforms because the title of it was they're kicking black people off of Facebook. And that's not a news flash. And I don't think he meant it to be a news flash. But that's been going on. And when we say kicking them off, what we really mean, let's be specific with our words so nobody can accuse us of making false accusation, is banning people, suspending them. You're still free to come back after you get out of what is people call term Facebook jail. You're still free to come back. I've never heard of anybody having a 30-day ban, but I have been suspended from posting on the page Black Talk Radio Network for nudity. Somebody complained about some nudity. Now, the nudity was in the context of a naked black artist standing on a pedestal, or really some slave blocks on Wall Street, literally down there at Wall Street, which people who know history know that Wall Street historically and right now is engaged in the slave trade. If you can trade in private prison stocks, you are trading in human bodies. It's modern day slavery. Let's make no mistake about that. So the photo that I shared that was attached to an article that she had written, it was her naked, and you really couldn't see anything because the sister was what we call full figured, and she was naked in a pair of heels. So, I mean, it's art, right? It's art. So somebody complained about it. It got reviewed, and so they banned it. I don't think I was banned at that point. Then one time I posted a photo of these naked white people all painted up and whatnot in New York City because I was focusing on and showing the irony between passing laws because somebody's pants sagging, however unsightly that may be, the fact that people are getting arrested over sagging laws and ending up dead in a jail cell, which we call a slave holding pen, and it's just ridiculous when you got mainly white people, but other people, other ethnicities and classifications under the system of racism out there butt naked riding bikes in Seattle, butt naked doing body art paint in New York. And so I was just sharing these pictures and then showing somebody sagging, and I ended up getting banned for 3 days, but it was not for 30 days. I just could not post. So I don't know what he did, what he said on Facebook. I don't follow him on Facebook. I follow him on YouTube, but I'll let you hear the video yourself. But in terms of him talking about starting a social media platform. Black Talk Media Project did that in August of 2016. We started a social media platform. We've made videos about it, which have been published to Facebook, YouTube, been shared by a lot of people. We talk about it constantly on the radio network. The hosts do a pretty good job in telling our listeners what's up, what's the new and developments as the network grows. And we added a social media component to our digital radio and podcasting platform, which you can get there at btrcommunity.com. It is not just like Facebook, but it is very similar to Facebook. And as we accumulate more resources, we can add the live streaming, upload your videos, but you can import anything you want to. In fact, I live stream on the network utilizing YouTube, or I could import using Facebook. So until we get the resources to handle those resources on our own, I believe in the teachings of Sun Tzu. In the book Art of War. So if you've read the book, you know what I'm doing. Okay, so it's a strategy. It's a tool. Until you can utilize your own and you can utilize other, that's a war strategy. But we launched that as another safe digital space for Black people, because we got banned. Well, let me be correct in my language. We got suspended in 2008. From a network known as Blog Talk Radio, because we created a radio program on their platform called Black Talk Radio. And white people got offended and they complained to white people who were on the platform. And so they suspended us for 2 weeks. And then after all our listeners complained, because we had a pretty popular program, they restored our account in 3 days. And I said, you know what? You don't deserve to have that power over my content, over my voice, over me. So BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com was born, and we have been growing every year ever since. So I understand what that feels like, and I understand the process. And so one of our hosts, and well, two of our hosts, Max Parthas as well as Dave, L.A. Dave, or Dave from L.A., as he likes to be called on Tando Radio Show, said we need our own Facebook. Our people need to get off of Facebook for various reasons. And as I explained to them, media producers have to use these other social media platforms because that's where the people are. That's where you go to reach them. But at the same time, you also be building your own platform so that if any of these platforms you're streaming to shuts you down, one shuts you down, well, you streaming over there. Well, they shut you down. Well, you streaming over there. If all the white platforms shut us down, we got our own platform, and we going to stream to the people. So we foresaw that problem, and we implemented what we call a solution, and it's called btrcommunity.com. So that's a story that we can talk about on the other side of the article. I'll let you listen to his video. What do you think about free speech? Do you have free speech on a platform that you ain't paying for? And of course, me and Dave have talked about on air, you say that it's free, but you are sacrificing willingly, and we do it too, who use it for business, your personal information so that they can data mine it. And if you say something that's offensive according to their community guidelines, even though a lot of people may agree it wasn't offensive, well, guess what? It's not your platform. They will shut you down. So what you going to do? Well, you fall back on your own platform like we do. So want to talk about that. That's very important in terms of mass communication, which, you know, I understand this more than others, so I'm not trying to say anything bad about other people who don't understand the importance of mass communications and taking it serious instead of trying to entertain people all the time or hit them off with some senseless gossip or whatnot. We need to take this serious so that we can reorganize our people like they were organized during the heyday of Black Terrestrial Radio, which the U.S. government, USA Inc., came up with a plan to specifically target in a codified manner. Of course, they're not going to tell you we're doing this to eliminate black radio stations, but it's called the 1996 Telecommunications Act. Another story, next story that we can get into. Again, if you want to share your thoughts, you are more than happy to do so. But we have the family, and we've done a video on the white disabled, mentally disabled man in Chicago. I don't know how old he was, but you had some in the system of racism. Black, they're classified as black youth, and they live streamed them doing something to them. I didn't watch the video. I watched the stills of it. So everybody's saying it happened and what have you. So I cannot comment on that for you as a witness because I didn't watch the video. But if it did happen, you know, I've made my personal thoughts made that on that on a personal video I already put out. But here's another angle I don't that I want to look at it from. Now, Dylan Roof is right now telling the world he ain't crazy. He knew exactly what he was doing when he went up into Mother Emanuel and gunned down them nine people. He's saying that, no, I'm totally competent. I knew what I was doing when I went in there, and I think he had a Glock and pulled his Glock out of his little fanny pack and waited for these people to pray and close their eyes and gunning them down. And so anytime a situation like that happens involving victims of racism, where the victims are black and the perpetrators are white, and it is specifically, we know there's evidence to suggest, whether direct evidence or circumstantial, that race is involved. But they always, I notice this, and again, I study media more than others, so I try to pick up on things. But I notice, and you all can comment on this if you notice the same thing or if you have not noticed it. But I always notice when there's a black victim and it's involving a white perpetrator, a suspected racist, they always ask the black victim's family, do you forgive them? Do you forgive these people? Do you forgive Dylan Roof? How do you feel? What would Jesus do? And all those type of questions. I have seen the media do this on I could say, being objective, I mean, honest with you, two times I have seen two video reports over the year where a reporter, a little street reporter for a local corporate media outlet, usually, you know, a CBS, ABC, NBC affiliate, and they will ask those sort of questions, Fox News affiliates as well. They ask those sort of questions. But whenever there's a white victim and the perpetrator is so-called black, I don't hear those questions. And so we got this story I'm going to share. The family of the white disabled man who was allegedly tortured in a live stream Facebook video is speaking to the media publicly. They held a press conference, and I did not hear anyone in this press conference or read about anyone in the press asking them if they forgive these four so-called black people in Chicago that allegedly tortured a disabled family member. And if they, you know, are, what would Jesus do and all of that? And asking for prayers for the perpetrators, you know, just like people was asking for prayers for Dylan Roof and saying pray for him and his family. He's a victim too. So I want to know, you know, no disrespect. I already made my personal comments and feelings known towards torture. There's no gray area for me. I'm against torture. So, but this is to, and again, I know non-black people do watch this video. They comment on our platform and what have you. What do you think? Would you forgive these people? Do you forgive them? Are you asking people within your circle to say, you know, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus forgive them for torturing that disabled man? So that, you know, but really I'm focusing on the media, not so much on the people. I'm focusing on corporate media. All you journalists out there, you have an opportunity to come across some of these white victims or their family members, ask them about forgiveness, okay, like you do the black people. I'm all for equal treatment in the media. Okay, so on a final note, though, about the legacy of CEO Obama, again, outgoing CEO of USA Inc., you have supporters of enslaved black freedom fighter Dr. Mutulu Shakur, the uncle of the assassinated hip-hop activist. A lot of people don't know that about Tupac Shakur, but he was also an activist. And he also told us that in one of his tracks that the world wasn't ready for a black president. And he was right. Black people wasn't even ready for a black president, because I don't think they've handled that man having that classification put upon him by this racist system has been productive. We weren't ready for it, okay? We was ready to give him passes cause he black. We wasn't ready to treat him as the CEO of USA Inc. So we have to say, put ourselves into that category. In my opinion, these are all my views, asking ourselves that question, were we ready for a black president? Because in my opinion, I could be wrong, but in my opinion, we did not get as much as other people did in terms as a voting block. Okay. So anyway, Dr. Mutulu Shakur, his supporters and followers are planning a social media Twitter storm, really, but you should also be posting it to Facebook, Google Plus, and all the social medias that you may be connected to, Instagram, share the media campaign. But they're it's directed at on Twitter at POTUS. That's POTUS, stands for President of the United States. Mr. Barack Hussein Obama is the one managing it right now. Soon it will be taken over, we think, by CEO-elect Donald J. Trump. So, again, just on a side note, those people that have been the mainstream media trying to distract y'all with Donald Trump tweeting, wasn't Hillary Clinton tweeting during the campaign as well? Wasn't Barack Obama is the first president to have a tweet, a Twitter account. And Bill Clinton was asking him, are you going to turn that over to the next? So why are y'all talking about making an issue out of Donald Trump tweeting? Let him tweet. That's how we gather intelligence. That's how we can catch them being uncodified. All right. So let's stop making fun of the man tweeting when all these other people are tweeting. I'm not for emotionalism and allowing the mainstream media to have me clowning and putting my energy towards something that's not constructive. But anyway, they're going to target the POTUS account, that's at POTUS on Twitter, and then Mr. Obama's personal account is at Barack Obama. It has been confirmed that's his personal Twitter account. So we're going to be tweeting the link to the petition, which I have linked to, and we're going to be tweeting at him, asking him to commute or give clemency to Dr. Mutulu Shakur, who is enslaved in New York. He was a member of the Black Panther Party. If my memory serves me correct, later joined the Black Liberation Army, became a victim of COINTELPRO. That's how the Black Liberation Army was born. Was because when the Black Panther Party was operating as a legal, above-ground political organization, as well as, you have to say, a humanitarian organization providing services like Dr. Mutulu, acupuncture, reviving people who are overdosing. Hey, just like the heroin epidemic going on now, he was helping people. He was reviving them, addicts that the police was finding dead. And the police were just going to let them die, especially if they was black. Call the ambulance to take them to the morgue. Dr. Mutulu Shakur was out there reviving these people. All right, so those are the many programs. But because of J. Edgar Hoover's illegal COINTEL program, and let's not act like the United States always adheres to legal parameters, but J. Edgar Hoover's COINTEL program, which the concept of it or the goals of it still exist to this day in the United States government, but that is what forced some of the members of the Black Panther Party to go underground, because they were being targeted for assassination. Just had a death anniversary of the assassination of Fred Hampton up there in Chicago, where that boy was tortured at. So yeah, where Barack Obama has laid his quote unquote grassroots organizing roots. So we need to be participating in this. My personal opinion of whether or not Barack Obama going out the door will part of his legacy be he commuted the sentence of hundreds of freedom fighters, not just black, but primarily black freedom fighters like Dr. Mutulu Shakur, like Mumia Abu-Jamal, like, you know, and Leonard Peltier, like Oscar Lopez. But that, you know, is something that to me, I'll be looking at this administration. So I want to, we can expand on that topic for conversation as well. So I am way overdue for a station identification breaks. I sometimes forget, as I incorporate video into our streaming, that our main priority is we're running a radio station. But let me check our board. If you have a question or a comment for anything that I brought up, whether that's the pros and cons of Obama administration legacy, if he did anything, I shouldn't say he, if anything good for black people came out his administration, if he pushed for anything, if he tried to do this, tried to do that, or what are some of the things that you feel like were a bigger con, like the destruction of Libya, thus preventing Gaddafi's ideal of African Union-based currency backed by gold, the gold dinar, which is one of the reasons stated in the emails between Hillary Clinton and I think it was the president of France. Those cables have been published a long time ago by WikiLeaks as well. So their reason for destroying Libya and getting rid of Gaddafi was they killed two birds with one stone. The French wanted to do it because they still have African countries depending on them for the French franc. So they're, in fact, part of the French economy. If they switch over to an African Union currency, then guess what? The franc loses value, especially if this African currency is backed by gold, which there are more gold deposits in these African countries than anywhere in the world. Also, USA Inc. has an interest in that, especially the people who own and manage the Federal Reserve. That would diminish the dollar. And some people think it's okay that they benefit by killing and murdering other people instead of letting it be a quote unquote level playing field or open and fair market. They resort to murder and war to stay on top in capitalism. They can't even play by their own rules of capitalism, you know, because they're the type of capitalism they practice mainly is slavery, slave-based capitalism. So, but the other reason that they took out Gaddafi was because it figured into the plans of overthrowing Assad in Syria and regime change there. And because, if you all recall, I recall more so than others because I'm a news reporter, but the American people said no when they were debating in Congress whether or not to arm the quote-unquote Free Syrian Army, because we was getting reports back then of these Islamic terrorists who like to cut people's hearts out and eat their hearts. And it's being published on social media, and we're seeing these people, and you calling them moderates and then saying, well, there's two different ones, but they all working together and mixing together. So can't no person be no moderate, and they tolerant of an extreme act like that, and they willing to work with people like that. So we got those reports. American people said no. You know, there was pushback through independent media, so they didn't get to arm them. So what did they do? They facilitated the overthrow of Libya, which held a UN seat recognized by all countries and on paper was a U.S. ally in the war on terror. They had normalized relations. So the other reason was, okay, we can't openly transfer arms to these terrorists that we're trying to overthrow Syria with, so we can just overthrow Gaddafi and then take control of these Libyan weapons depots and cash This came out in some hearings in the Congress, so don't accuse me of spreading no fake news. I do my research, my sources, I can cite them. But the CIA took control in the days and weeks of the fall of Gaddafi's government. The CIA took control of one of those depots. And guess where those weapons ended up? They ended up in Syria in the hands of these terrorists and their so-called moderate friends. But anyway, that's the reason why they have American-made weapons. Because, again, when Gaddafi and Libya normalized relations in 2005 with USA Inc. during CEO Bush's junior's reign, they were able to purchase weapons from the United States. So that's why these terrorists are running around in Iraq in Syria with U.S. made weapons. A lot of them come from from Libya. So lots to talk about. We try to get into depth into our news presentation or our programming, and I know I put a lot out there, but feel free to chime in on any of that. But we are going to take a station identification break. I always like to play royalty free message music that has been sent to me by different artists for your listening pleasure. We do not advertise on the live streams because that's against the rules on some of these social media platforms that we stream to. But if you are interested in audio advertisement, banner web advertisement, any of that, we can upload those audio files to our station. We have media packages for you if you are looking to reach black people who have a specific interest, who are mainly conscious. And definitely check us out. Again, you can find out information about that at two different media properties. That is blacktalkradionetwork.com as well as blacktalkmediaproject.org. One last time, let me give out those numbers as we transition. Hold up. I kind of jumped the gun there. But as we make this transition, the telephone number is, we got a couple of numbers for you. These are all new. 866-510-9025. That is 866-910-9025. That's supposed to be toll free in Canada. We have a North Carolina number that is 704-802-5056. And if you are in the diaspora, as we are, been doing marketing outreach to black people in the African diaspora and on the continent itself, and you're an English speaker in Europe and you want to tune in and contribute, just go to uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. You'll see your international numbers, or you can dial in by computer or post a comment or a question in that chat room there. That's the only place that we are paying attention to. But shout out to those on YouTube and Facebook who wanted us to leave those chat features open. We'll be right back on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the millennium.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Jails in America are being privatized, and they're on the stock exchange, and you don't build a hotel unless you expect occupancy. So when they're building prisons, they want to build them, but they're building them for you.
I look around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have...
But now they've got to create a culture in the community that lends to violence, crime, drugs, guns, prostitution, and it's a steady pipeline to prison. But they're offering you rap deals. Atlantic. And in your rap, there's a beef with another rapper. And you get real, you know, fiery about it. And you're talking about drilling down.
I look around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have...
You want to kill your brother. So that's the kind of rap you're doing. And then the radio stations are complicit. Because if you make something clean, they don't want to play it. So when you come to the record executives with something clean, but it's got a good beat, hey, that's nice, but see if you keeping it real. And keeping it real means keeping it as it is so that it will never change. Can come back in the hood riding expensive cars. But your brothers and sisters
are dying on your words. And you are aiding in the conspiracy to exterminate the black male. You got to know that at the highest levels of government, they've plotted our demise. Oh boy.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Get up on my way.
All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. That is an independent artist by the name of Sincere No Quarry. He sent that in to us. He made a beat tape that he said was inspired by listening to Black Talk Radio Network. So we certainly appreciate any kind of media production that's going to lead to people understanding what the problems is, all the different weapons that they use in us. Use against us. So again, talking about the legacy of Barack Obama, just on that right there, you heard Minister Louis Farrakhan talking about the power of rap music. We've had on, and we will have on continuously on this network, Brother Kwabena Rasuli from Clear the Airways Project, which is based up there in Chicago as well. And they have been protesting against the killer radio stations that put on that type of music, that plants those kind of murder messages, misogynistic messages into the minds of the people in that Chicago radio market. And these are the stations that target black people. You will not find any programming that white people are likely to listen to. They're not hearing messages of go blow somebody's face off. They're not hearing their women being called the B word or the H word. They're not hearing any of that. I can guarantee you that. I don't hear that in country music. When I was in high school, I worked at the Cracker Barrel. I do live in the South. Worked in the dishwashing room along with some of my buddies from high school. And we were forced for 8 hours a day. And we got benefits back then, too. I tell you, things have changed in the job market. But we were forced to listen to country music for however time we were in that building. And I guarantee you, I didn't hear anybody called a B. I didn't hear anybody called a hoe. I didn't hear about anybody. Excuse me. We got a lot of snow here, and I'm fighting off. I'm not going to claim no cold, but I'm trying to fight one off, so excuse me. You're not hearing that kind of programming. So that's what Minister Farrakhan is talking about. So how is Scotty connecting that with the legacy of CEO Barack Obama, his administration, and him personally? Well, if you do recall, all throughout his campaign, both of them, and the type of music artists he was inviting to the White House and showcasing in front of the world and bringing them up in there with his family and all that, the Lil Wayne's, the Jay-Z's of the world, who have for a long time been working for white corporations, music corporations, producing this music with lyrical content that poisons the minds of the masses. So I've already seen hip-hop articles that's being put out talking about Barack Obama's hip-hop legacy. So I will tie him to that and not using his power of the executive branch to put pressure on the FCC, which I do believe he appointed the FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, who is retiring now, and got him confirmed, and to get the FCC to simply enforce the community standards, broadcasting standards rules. We're not talking about internet. We're not talking about satellite radio that people pay for, where people, you know, can expect it. They may hear a cuss word here or there, and their language isn't regulated except for by the platforms that they are on. But on the public airways, when I'm just got a car that isn't Wi-Fi connected, and I just got a regular transistor radio in that car, which is millions of cars now So, and I tune into, I turn on the radio, that antenna is going to look to pick up a signal from a much bigger and powerful antenna, and I'm going to receive their programming, whatever they're broadcasting over the airways. Guess what? Those are federal. You got to have a federal license. That you have to go through a process. It has to be renewed. It's not a lifetime license. But you have to get a federal license in order to broadcast. Being that you are taking advantage of the public airways that the good people of USA, trapped behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., are subsidizing, okay, you are going to adhere to certain community standards. First Amendment does not apply with obscene language on the public airways. If you want cable, if you want obscenity, you can pay for that and get it through cable. Plenty of corporations willing to provide you with that type of content. So we're talking about terrestrial radio stations. I hope that I'm making myself clear that there's no misunderstanding. It is not about free speech. It is about the poisoning of non-white communities and black communities, specifically by white-owned corporations. But also you have Kathy Hughes of Radio One or whatever. She has so many subsidiaries, but they operate stations too. They operate gospel stations. They operate what I call corporate talk radio stations, where they're relying on advertisers. So they're not going to call out these corporations like they should for their human rights violations and their participation in utilizing prison slave labor. All right, so you're not going to hear that kind of talk. But guess what? They also have their so-called hip-hop and rap stations. So if I'm going to point the fingers at the racist cracker over there running iHeartRadio or any white corporation that has a black radio station that they control, they own, they control the programming that's targeting black people, if I'm going to point them out, I'll also... Because you know, in the mind of the racist cracker, they're going to say, well, look at what you're doing to yourself. So, again, I am an equal opportunity criticizer or whatever you want to call it. I run a nonprofit that was started because we are concerned about the media targeting black people. And so it's been a big disappointment that President Obama has not shown the moral, and I don't like to get into the morality. I allow people to practice their religion or don't practice religion, but we're talking about public airways. We got to talk about what we all can agree upon. And I think most right-thinking adults should agree that we don't want to hear people call call them B's and H's and talk about blowing people face off or dealing drugs or slipping drugs into some unsuspecting woman's drink. All of that is sponsored by corporations. Corporations own the station. McDonald's is the number one advertiser on these killer radio stations. That means that they support the content. But yet you will still go to them and take your dollars. And they're funding, they're all part of this. They're all part of this machine. This machine, like Minister Farrakhan was talking about, people at the highest level, he said government, but corporations are plotting certain people's destruction. That's what the evidence says. And the media plays a big role in that. So part of his legacy on media, entertainment, celebrityhood, party, I heard an elder say, and this is not to talk bad about elders and make fun of anyone who has this mentality, because like Malcolm said, we can't judge people because we don't know where they're at or what they've been exposed to or what they've read, who they get their information primarily from. But I heard this elder say that we got symbolism. That Barack Obama said, Barack Obama being black and wearing a suit and going to his job and doing his job in a suit, that alone was worth millions of black people, other non-white people, and white people putting him into office. That just that alone, if we didn't get nothing else alone from it, just the legacy of his celebrityhood and him wearing a suit and looking proper and talking proper, that just that alone, and that, yeah, black people need to pull up their pants. And we're talking about a very small minority of people in a culture that is promoted to them, in a clothing style that that is promoted to them by who? White corporations that control 95% of mass media, all that people see, read, and listen to all over the planet. Okay, so again, that's his legacy to me. It is on music. It's not a good one. And symbolism is not a good thing. He has endorsed the murder music by bringing murder music artists and misogynistic artists. He's endorsed that. And I'm sorry, his wife, the FLOTUS, Michelle Obama, please don't get angry, because I know, and I'm not making fun of people, but I know a lot of y'all are invested in the image of black people, and that's enough for you. But that is, you know, images are important. But when it comes to politics, that participating in that area, we're supposed to be getting something in exchange for those votes, not just a beautiful portrait that we can hang on the wall of a well-manicured, dressed to the T black family with the corporate flag of USA Inc. in the background. You know, we gotta have more than that. And then, you know, when you consider that, if you look at some of the lynching photos, you know, because a lot of white terrorists would take pictures as souvenirs so that they could look back and remember when they tortured that poor black person and riddled their bodies with bullets and burned them to death or hung them from a tree, that strange fruit. You know, I tell you, they were wearing suits too, weren't they? So black men have been putting on suits and for a very long time and working hard and talking proper for hundreds of years, totally assimilating into the culture, totally assimilated into the fashion, which fashion is part of culture, just totally assimilated. So an image of a black man in a suit is not something tangible, or it's just not very logical to me. I don't mean no offense to anybody who might think that, but you know, without him being emotional and just looking at it objectively, that isn't worth anything. That's not black. Young black people have had black men and women dressing proper, whatever that term means, immaculately, putting on suits and dresses, and even Friday hair, get it all straight so that their black curly hair doesn't offend white people. I mean, they've done all of that, and it has not led to people stop practicing racism and the religion of white supremacy. So what's some of the good things that Barack Obama has done? Black people specifically, the best thing I could say he did, even though it wasn't specifically for black people because he doesn't operate that way, was to get the FCC, which again regulated by the executive branch, if I'm not mistaken, of the SEC, that is the Security and Exchange Commission, to change their rules to incorporate crowdfunding investing, to allow startup businesses to solicit people on the internet for money for their startup businesses. But instead of it just being a donation, which nonprofits, you know, we take donations. But these startups that have been on these crowdfunding sites, these are not nonprofits. These are people asking you for money so they can start a for-profit company or develop a for-profit product that they're going to hopefully sell or get a deal with a manufacturing a company and distributor. All right. Excuse me. This cold is starting to bother me. I don't want to claim the cold. So anyway, with them changing the rules, now, I would think it's more appealing that if I believe in this person and I can see their business plan, I can see their product, I can talk to them, communicate with them, it makes it more attractive to me to, instead of just giving them $5, maybe I'll invest $500 in their company. And then if it's successful, I'll see a return on that. And then I'll have the option of reinvesting the principal or some of the profit if it's profitable. And I would have to say, you know, again, it was not done specifically for black people, with black people in mind, but that would be one of the best things in a people activity area, economic part of his legacy that black people should be taking advantage of. So let me put it in those terms, in terms of positive from his administration. What else? Maybe not specifically, but related to black people. Now, we hear a lot, and you're going to hear a lot about his commutations. Already you've heard a lot about these people who have been sentenced to slavery for life, for, let's say, they've never been in trouble before, maybe a college student. They know somebody back home that was in the underground drug market, and they came across usually an FBI informant out there fishing for victims to set somebody up and say, hey, man, I'm looking to buy some drugs because you black. Maybe you know somebody sells some drugs. And so we'd be like, well, I don't sell drugs. But, you know, since you struggling and you trying to make a quick buck, I do know this person. I can give you their phone number. And then you get arrested and you in prison for life. You a slave for life. All right. You're not 12 years a slave. You're not 25 years a slave. You're a slave for life. So we've been hearing about those type of cases where he commute the sentence or give them a pardon, and they've gotten out. And it's been more than any CEO prior to him. Okay, but think about this, though. Not only that's true, but that's like showcasing. That's like distracting you from the fact that probably 10 times as many as he pardons on his way out the door have gone in to slavery, modern day slavery, through the prison plantation, through the 13th Amendment, the exception clause of it. 10 times as many probably going in there, not on probably a day. I don't want to exaggerate, but there are millions of people that's being circulated through the system every day in this country. Every year, millions of them. So just think about that, because those laws have not been repealed. They've been talking a lot about reform, but as far as I know, unless I'm behind on my information, he has not signed any kind of legislation. Yeah, they did when he first came in the door to reduce the crack cocaine disparity from 100-1 to 17-1, I believe it was. Still a disparity, and it's still an injustice. And I don't want to go off on a tangent on the drug war, but he really, you know, hasn't let up on the drug war as well, which leads to the most people being caught up in slavery. So those people that he are letting out, welcome home. We are glad you're home. I probably signed a petition and circulated a petition and shared the petitions, many of the BTR listening audience, and to get you your freedom. And we're happy to put pressure on the CEO to get him to do this. And so we're happy for you, but we are not giving him any pats on the backs or any kudos or anything, because like a North Carolina story I reported on in a podcast, I believe, or on my on a regular broadcast during 2016 in December, a North Carolina pastor, a black woman, I forget the name of the city that she is in. It's just on the other side of Charlotte, so it's not far from where I am. And she's going to be going on a fast until Barack Obama commutes the sentence or pardons 18,000 such victims in there for nonviolent drug so-called crimes that were put on the books specifically to target black people, according to Richard Nixon, not according to Scotty Reed, according to Richard Nixon's chief of staff, former chief of staff. We know who Hillary Clinton called super predators and who community that they were going to target with the crime bill and putting all them slave catchers on the street. And so we knew what the result of that was going to be, and all of that is still in place. Again, I haven't heard, unless I'm behind on the times or on the information, and I'm out the loop, He has not signed. There's been a lot of talk about it. So like the lady, I'm with the lady in North Carolina who has a prison ministry and works on these issues. Don't know if she recognizes it as 13th Amendment legalized slavery yet. And I am going to reach out to her, possibly bring her on as a guest, do a pre-recorded maybe video interview. We're not to the point yet that we could stream the interviews and video interviews through social media yet, because we're still working on some technical stuff to get that to work. But yeah, got to bring her on. But she says she will be putting her life on the line, not taking water, not taking food until CEO Obama commutes the sentence of over 18,000 victims of 21st century slavery and human trafficking. So, you know, he still has a chance to add to the pros of his legacy. Again, this is not just going to affect black people. It's white people in there, too. It's Hispanics. They're the second largest group. There are people who classify as Native Americans are in there. But more than anyone, black people, because slavery has always targeted them the most, make up the bulk of these 18,000 that she talking about, that she wants this man to free on his way out the door. So again, I'm trying to be objective, not trying to be negative. I'm just stating the facts as they have presented themselves. I already touched upon how many cuts to the SNAP program he agreed to with these Republicans. And yes, I do accept some of the criticism that look like we have somebody wants to chime in. But yes, I do accept that a lot of criticism directed towards him has been race based from these less codified races, and many other things like the jobs program that Donald Trump is talking about implementing now. They were blocking when Barack Obama was proposing these things, and they were doing it because he was black. But yeah, let's go ahead and welcome in. We got a caller. I heard somebody unmute themselves. Go ahead with your question or comment. You can state your name only if you choose.
Okay. Can you hear me, Scotty?
Yes, sir.
Seems like I got a little feedback. I'm sorry about that. But this is Jerry calling out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I agree with everything that you're saying. I don't necessarily agree with the sister not taking no food or water, because that's a tall order to take for her to make that statement and to fulfill that statement when he hasn't done anything for us within the last 8 years. That's a real big statement. But, you know, he proposed that he was going to take 10,000 of our brothers and sisters, and not just our brothers and sisters, but everybody who, for nonviolent offenses, out of slavery. And he is, as of right now, I haven't done this in about 2 or 3 months, but as of what I remember, he has only brought out like 800 people, if that. Now, that's a long way from that 10,000 that he promised. Now, it's millions of us that's in slavery, but he promised 10,000, and he still hasn't even fulfilled that particular promise. Mm-hmm. And right now, this is the seventh day of January, so he only has 13 more days to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see these things happening. I actually don't believe that they never was a priority for him. You know, that was just something that he said to get us emotionally engaged to vote for him. Now, I have uncles that's older than me. I have aunts, and all of them, they're on this subject of, well, at least he is a black president. And me, myself, maybe because of the things that I've done, because I ain't always done things the right way, but like I said, maybe because of what I've done, I'm more attracted to evidence and and things that you've actually done more so than things that you've said. Now, you said a lot of things on here tonight, and it's a lot of people who do what they say. Our president that we have right here at the forefront is not one of those people. He has not made any kind of effort to do any of the things that he said. I mean, let's talk about Donald Trump for a second. This guy went on, he told a whole bunch of lies about what he was going to do based off of these racist white folks, because we know that they are the majority around the United States. But he said a whole lot of things to them, and then he had no intentions on fulfilling any of that stuff. And then he went out and he told them that he didn't believe a lot of the stuff that he said. So what makes us believe that our president that we done had for the last 8 years that haven't fulfilled anything that he said to do something different? You know, it's crazy. I understand, but I don't understand, because I look for people who I deal with to be honest and truthful.
Yeah, when somebody says, Brother Jerry, when somebody says, what did you say that your relative said that he was the black president, that's what he did?
That's exactly what I said. That's the defining factor for them.
But he didn't do that.
He was the black president.
He didn't do that. People voted for him, put him in that position to be selected.
Exactly. Scotty, that is a great point, because he never took on those reins. He never did. And I think on several occasions, I know for sure that he never wanted to be acknowledged as the first black president. He just wanted to be acknowledged as a great president.
And Jerry, that's why I have president on my graphic in quotes, because he didn't want you. Most of our people who identify with us call him a black, or our family members, we should say, called him the black president, or he's the first black president. No, he's not. He is the 44th president of the United States of America, or you could say he's the 44th president or CEO of USA Inc. And he said, going by what he said, because we want to let people self-identify and get them the right to self-determination. And Mr. Obama said, I'm not the black president. He didn't want to identify as that, so I'm going to respect his right. He said, I'm the president of all Americans, whatever that means.
You know what, and I'm glad you brought up that quote, because that feeds directly into what I'm saying. When we as a people, and now I'm not talking about me and you, Scotty, or people who think the way that we think. I'm talking about all of the other so-called black Americans that want to identify him as that. And like you just said, when you made that quote from him, is that's not what he wanted to be identified as. So when we be looking for him to do this, that, and the other, we have to always understand that from the get-go, once he finally got into the office, he made that distinction. He made that distinction. Didn't nobody make it for him. It don't matter about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton making up these stories about him, or any other Republican or any other Democrat for that matter. He made these distinctions up under his own words, but yet and still we still look for him to do these type of things that we feel that's needed within our community, and then we look for him to do it, and he tells us directly is that he is not the person to do it.
What I'm looking, Brother Jerry, what I'm looking to address here is just the logic of it. You know, then what happens is if you talk about Barack Obama in less than glowing terms, you know, as you will be talking about somebody you have great admiration for and you're just really proud of this person, if you just talk objectively, not emotionally, no yelling and screaming and saying, hey, he killed Gaddafi, or look at all them children in all them non-white countries, or the drone program that was run under his name and what the CIA did. Hey, we not yelling and screaming and getting emotional at tens of thousands of black people being wiped out in Libya, as well as, you know, from different African nations, because Libya had a lot of African immigrants, but they also had black people indigenous to Libya that lived there. Where are they at now? They're gone. And I don't know how many mass graves, but hey, they're talking about mass graves in Syria. There are mass graves in Libya that these terrorists put those black people in. So I'm not being emotional and saying that, you know, he allowed these black people to do. I mean, he allowed himself to be used in this manner. He went on and told people lies, saying that Gaddafi was this dictator who was murdering his own people. He brought in a bunch of Africans, gave them Viagra, and told them to go rape all these women, and telling those lies. Samantha Powers over there at the UN, Susan Rice, all of them, Hillary Clinton at the State Department. So I don't get emotional when I talk about these things. These are facts. But when I'm talking to somebody who thinks that symbolism is the most important thing, when I say I can't symbolize a person who would be a participant in those things I just described, then there becomes conflict, and then they want to get emotional. How dare you talk about the black president like that? I'm not talking about the black president. I'm talking about the CEO of USA Inc. I'm talking about the facts. I'm talking about the things that the administration that bears his name did. And there are many people part of that. Him and he and Hillary Clinton will forever be linked as far as his legacy goes, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, when you say it, though, Scotty, think about what you're saying. Because, like you said, you thinking analytically. How many people do that? I mean, whenever you do go out and you go to the grocery store or the hardware store and all that, and you run into people, most people don't think in this manner. Now that's not just us as far as the black community. That's people in general.
That's right.
And thinking about the fact that most black people don't even have this information that you and your network is providing. When we think about it in that point, when we run across black people, they don't even want to hear what we got to say about anything political. Like you said, the symbolism. I ain't never thought about it in that way until you brought it up. But that's the only way that they think about it. And they don't even know that they're thinking about it in that manner, because they don't ever pay attention to anything that's going on. And that symbolism is it's a great part of our country. A lot of us only pays attention to symbolism. Matter of fact, I think that's the reason why a lot of our young brothers and sisters have been getting murdered, based off the symbolism that we have a black president, and that notifies anything that's done happened beforehand, because we have a so-called black president. You see what I'm saying? They feel like that, well, it's a black man in charge. Well, I know this ain't gonna happen to me, because they respect him, they gonna respect me too. That's not the case.
Well, it's the opposite of that. You know, like many people have said that Donald Trump is...
Man, you hit it on the head.
Yeah, Donald Trump...
I'm sorry, I ain't been to interject on you, man. I'm sorry, but that is exactly the truth. It's the exact opposite. But go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah, they looking for that symbolism too. The poor... See, a lot of times the media does not really present to us the poverty and the suffering of white people. But since I live in a rural area, those of us who live in the South We know it's a lot of poor white people without jobs, and they are selling drugs and doing drugs, and we can see from the heroin epidemic a lot of them ODing and what have you. So America doesn't...
Real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only thing I want to say real quick, because, I mean, I have a lot of stuff to say, but as far as what you're saying, it's more of them than it is of us. For everybody that's listening right now, just know it's a lot more of them than it is of us.
You're talking about poor, suffering. What we call in the South, yeah. Poor crackers, right? Working class, call, poor white people.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's more of them that's poor than it is of us. And all you have to do is just look at the analytics, like Scott had just mentioned. When you look at the analytics, to make it real simple for anybody that's listening, it's more of them than it's more of us. So when you talk about all of the people who have endured this subjugation, it's more of them than it's more of us also, because it's more of them here on
they're just not on the prison slave plantation
than it is of us.
Yeah, but when it comes to the prison slave plantation, it's more of us than anybody else, so let's just make that distinction. But we're talking about poverty now. We're not talking about slavery. We're talking about poverty.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Because when it comes to us, we don't necessarily have to be doing anything wrong to be put into the prison plantation.
Right.
They just pick us up just to pick us up. So yes, you are exactly right. But what like you said, when we're talking about just being poor in America, it's more of them than it's more of us. So when you hear this rhetoric about more white people get shot than more black people, if you're doing the analytics, it makes sense, because for one thing, they're more rowdy,
right,
than we are. They attack the police more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the people who have murdered police over just this last year, not years before this, because it will be a huge disparity when you talk about years before this, but just 2016. When you look at 2016 and you see how many white people who done murdered police, it's so much more of them, because they attack them more because they feel more comfortable. They feel like that even though they may shoot three or four police, they still can go to jail. And that normally, that's what happens. Now, we on the other side, we don't necessarily have to shoot anybody. We could just be in that altercation and end up dead.
Or so, just sitting in our car trying to pull out our license, sitting in the passenger seat of a car pulled over by a slave catcher. That's one of the stories I'm going to get to. I am going to extend the program, go over the 2 hours. I'm still getting used to this new time slot. But back to what you were saying, Jerry, about this is how all people think in terms of the symbolism and whatnot. So that was my point about the selection of Donald Trump. And a lot of these poll, man, I ain't never seen the polls that crowded. And I've been going to the polls since I was 18, I guess. No, after I got out of the military, since I was 26 is how long I've been voting. So that's over 25 years in a rural, predominantly white, 80% plus white county. I've never seen that many white people at the polls than what I saw. I went to early voting. I didn't even go on election day. I went to early voting, and it was a line out the door and wrapped around the building of nothing but poor white crackers.
And I understand exactly what you mean.
So they buying into the symbolism of Donald Trump. And they're going to see. Now I'm watching to see what Donald Trump going to do. You got the Congress proposed to pass another piece of legislation that's going to cut the SNAP program. It's a whole lot of these poor white people on SNAP around here where I live, man. I see them at the store buying whatever they buy with EBT. Because there's no jobs, man. This used to be a cotton mill town. All those mills closed down. If you ain't working at the mall, if you ain't working at the one manufacturing plant that now has laid off a bunch of people, then you pretty much selling meth, selling weed, selling something to survive. You know what I'm saying? And that's a lot of them crackers, man. And so you cut them off of EBT, man, it's going to get worse. And they going to be out. You know what I'm saying? I might have to shoot one of them trying to steal the riding lawnmower off the property because they hungry and the government ain't helping them and what have you. So the Republicans are set to cut it by how many billion? It was a story I saw. Something like over 100 billion, maybe 10 billion over the next 10 years. So I'm like, is Donald Trump really going to sign this into law? We know Barack Obama would because he did it every time there was a cut. Is Donald Trump going to cut the benefits of mainly poor white crackers who depend on SNAP, a lot of white children? They wouldn't get no food no other way, man, unless they, you know, go fishing or hunting around here. But that's where they're getting their food from. Let's see what Donald Trump going to do. And if their symbolism was well-placed in Donald Trump, that vote was well-placed, is he going to look out for y'all? But what's going to happen is the Republicans going to continue to put a black face on poverty, and then these white folks will be calling for their own doggone food to be cut off. The media's good at what they do, man. It manipulates the minds of the masses, like Malcolm X said.
Well, you know, Scotty, and if, man, I am so glad, because I always enjoy when you come on, and I hate that you don't do the daily show like you do, that you used to do, but, you know, I understand why you don't do it no more. You know, you got a lot of stuff that you got to do, and you bring a lot of information to us. And I appreciate that, brother. But talking about what you're talking about right now, this is a real epidemic, because when we talking about all of this, for one thing, like you said, and I said, is that they are the majority of the people who get this welfare. I mean, think about where welfare come from. They yeah. came from during the Great Depression. That's where that stems from. And black people didn't get no welfare during that time.
Sure, all of
this was built for them. It was built for them. Now we kind of occupied it after the fact when they got themselves together, and then they started getting homes and stuff, and they took our homes, and we needed somewhere to go. Then we started getting that little, I ain't gonna even say that we started getting that welfare, but we got those buildings that they
I look
occupied.
At any black people getting any kind of assistance as a form of reparations.
I'm not gonna even say that it was a form of reparations.
Another way to look at it, Jerry, is I worked all my adult life. Actually, I started working as a teenager. And I'm talking about jobs where I've been paying taxes. So anything you giving to me don't even make up for all you taking from me during my adult working life in taxes.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. That's exactly what I'm saying. And you made the exact point. What I was gonna say is that we haven't been given anything.
Right.
I mean, when you're talking about paying taxes and being repaid for those taxes that they repay everybody else for, we haven't gotten anything.
Right.
We haven't gotten anything whatsoever.
Hey, Brother Jerry, let me take a station identification break, and I'm going to roll straight into a couple of videos. I got Barack Obama's latest State of the Union address. It came out today. This other short clip of him talking about his legacy and what have you, and then we'll come back.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Jerry.
Man, dude, I love you so much. You done taught me so much with your program, and I came to you via Dave in the Tando program. Do you mind if I just hold on and be able to conversate back and forth.
Oh,
with
yes,
you
I'm running it just
be
it,
on tonight.
Yeah, it's the same board. It's the same board, and I'm running it the same way as we run all our programs. But I was just going to say I'm going to place you on hold until we come back on the other side, and then anybody that wants to chime in can just hit star. So, yeah, Brother Jerry, you are welcome to chime back in if you have something to add to a point that's being made. All right? Okay, so you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. Again, I've changed my program to a weekly program where I may actually expand it to 3 hours on Saturdays, but I originally planned for 2 hours on Saturday. So we're in the
news. I love it.
Glad that you like it. All right, so we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back on the other side, I'm going to play these videos from Barack Obama, CEO of USA Inc., talking about his legacy and whatever he talked about in the last State of the Union. I have not watched these, so if you haven't heard them, I haven't heard them either, and I'll form my opinion based off of what I heard. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting on the Black Talk Radio Network every Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m., Eastern, which be 6 Central, which be 4 Pacific Standard Time. We'll be back on the other side.
Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, in our new time slot, which will be 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time every Saturday. Of course, our broadcasting home is blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can also find our live streams on our Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube channel. All you had to do was type in Black Talk Radio in their search engines. Of course, we're going to come up. So we're streaming there now. Also, you can find podcasts there. But our home, where you can find more programming and other independent black media stations and podcasts, go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. It will adapt to any device you're on. Our number one visitors are coming to us via mobile browsers or mobile phones, smartphones, or whatnot. But obviously, if you're on a desktop, it's going to work. So definitely check us out there for your independent black media needs. I do recommend blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm not just saying that because I'm part of it or I founded it or any. I mean that truly. I mean that. You can find a lot of great independent black media content with stations that have no kind of affiliation with us other than they're black. And they care about black people, and they want to be on our platform. All right, let me go ahead and roll into this video of CEO Obama talking about his legacy. I got a couple of them that I want to play for you. Let me get situated here. We'll go ahead and roll that. Let me find my playlist, get that started. So again, in case you just tuning in, been talking about the perceived legacy President Obama. He's been talking about it himself and putting stuff out there. So here we go. Let's go ahead and roll these two videos.
We've gotten amazing things done over the last 7 years. You think about yanking ourselves out of an economic crisis, putting people back to work, making sure that our manufacturing base is strong, dealing with big challenges like healthcare, education, our environment. There's still some kid out there who can't afford to go to college. There's still somebody out there who's looking for work that needs to retrain and doesn't know how to get access to it. There's still a veteran who isn't getting the services that they need and that they've earned. You know, traditionally, State of the Unions, a president gets up and they give a long laundry list of things that they want to accomplish legislatively. I want to identify three or four big ideas, three or four big things that we have to focus on. A lot of what we can do is to change, you know, the political environment and change people's attitudes and start a process where change begins to happen. It's a relay race, and it's important, though, that you get started. I want us to be able, when we walk out this door, to say we couldn't think of anything else that we didn't try to do. If we can orient ourselves in the right way, then I'm absolutely confident that we'll eventually
please
get them accomplished.
Please tell me that ain't church music we hearing in the background. That ain't the church organ. All right, I'm still trying to learn this software. It's supposed to be playing another video, but I'm not hearing any audio. Give me just a second as I try to. But I heard the church music. I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, here is the next video. Let's go ahead and roll this other video. Okay, get that queued up. Here we go.
Since the days of George Washington, presidents have delivered some form of final message while in office, a farewell address to the American people. On Tuesday night in Chicago, I'll deliver mine. I chose Chicago not only because it's my hometown, where I met my wife and we started a family, but also because it's really where my career in public service began. The running thread through my career has been the notion that when ordinary people get involved and get engaged and come together in collective effort, things change for the better. That's the belief at the heart of this precious American experiment in self-government. It's what gives work and purpose to each new generation. It's easy to lose sight of that truth in the day-to-day back and forth of Washington or our minute-to-minute news cycles. But remember that America is a story told over a longer time horizon, in fits and starts, punctuated at times by hardship, but ultimately written by generations of citizens who've somehow worked together without fanfare to form a more perfect union. Over the past 8 years, we've added our own new chapter to that story. Together, we've turned an economy that was shrinking and losing jobs into one that's growing and creating jobs, with poverty falling, incomes rising, and wages that have jumped faster over the past few years than at any time in the past 4 decades. Together, we've achieved what eluded politicians of both parties for a century. We've moved 20 million more Americans from uninsured to insured, ending the days of discrimination against up to half of Americans who have a pre-existing condition, and secured new rights and protections for everybody with health insurance. Together, we've brought home most of our brave troops from Iraq and Afghanistan, took bin Laden and thousands of other terrorists off the battlefield for good. We've opened a new chapter with the people of Cuba, shut down Iran's nuclear weapons program without firing a single shot, and brought the world together around a climate agreement that could save this planet for future generations. By these measures, and many more, we have made America a better, stronger place for the generation that follows ours. We've run our leg in a long journey of progress, knowing that our work is and will always be unfinished. And that's the imperative of citizenship, the idea that with hard work, people who love their country can change it. That'll be the focus of my farewell to you this Tuesday, and I hope you'll tune in. Thanks, and have a great weekend.
Okay, I don't know if I buy into the job is never finished, because I do want to see an end to slavery. And if I believe that the work will never be done, well, what's the purpose of me joining a useless fight then and giving my energy to something that I'm forever going to be giving my energy to with no end in sight? So I do not buy into that notion that the work will all never be finished. And is, yeah, there will always be something to do, something, a new challenge to fight, but we ain't even ended slavery yet, okay, in this country. 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery after the Civil War, just transferred it to the prison plantation. But again, talking about his legacy, and I'm about to wrap up his legacy, and I'll take some final comments if anybody has them on him, but I'm going to move on to some of these other news topics here in just 10 minutes at the top of the hour. We'll transition, but again, what were some of the pros? Did he do some good things that I saw would benefit black people? Yeah. Cuba, normalizing relations with Cuba, working to lift the embargo, which has not been lifted. I think that can only be done through Congress, and I don't see that happening under Donald Trump. So this whole thing can fall apart. But the effort was there to do what he could through the executive branch to normalize relations, meaning, you know, we don't want normal relations with white supremacists, so let's be clear about that. But to get them to stop practicing whatever acts of injustice against us and against Cuba, because they did not like the puppet, the U.S. puppet Batista, who ran that island. It was very decadent, very racist. Lots of poverty, lots of people suffering, except for the very rich. Same things we see here in the United States today. So because they were mad, because the revolution took Batista out of power, a brutal dictator, they decided to embargo. No Cubans, and a lot of them are black, if not a majority of them are black, the victims of slavery, descendants of the victims of slavery. And, you know, they don't have the right to self-determination because they chose a government, whatever the name of the government is, communist, socialist, that don't matter, because all these capitalists do business in communist countries and socialist countries, and they're beating down the door to do business in Cuba right now. But Obama did work, I think, in his administration did work towards justice and lifting this economic embargo. Then, because you see these people in media talking about how the Cuban people are suffering. Well, that, yeah, you want to talk about their buildings or any kind of slums or disrepair. Number one, ain't nobody homeless. So I'll take a dilapidated building that need fixing before I'll take sleeping in the alley or on some kind of grate to keep warm during the winter. I'll take that any day. Okay, so but that's all because of the U.S. embargo. You can't get cement, you can't get building materials, you can't. That's why you see them in all 1950 era cars. And it's only a few countries that had not adhered to that unjust embargo, because these people said, no, we don't want to be ruled by a U.S. puppet practicing racism and white supremacy. We want a right to form our own government, and we're willing to die to implement this government. We're going to have a revolution. What is not to be admired by that when you look at the facts? They weren't feeling oppressed, okay? It was, they had a brutal police force, same stuff we see today, but even more off the chain outside the U.S. It's hard to gauge. So I will put that in the pro column in things that he did. Also, since I got a connection to the people of the Kingdom of Hawaii, which is currently being occupied by USA Inc., I have a child by one of the indigenous persons. I have two children. I have three children total, but two children by an indigenous non-white person to that island.
And he did through, I think it was the Land Management Bureau. It could have been, I might be thinking about something else, that deals with indigenous affairs. Okay, Hawaiians are indigenous. They are looked at by the U.S. government as indigenous. They were a nation and even had a treaty with many other nations, including Britain and a whole bunch of other white nations, including the United States before the Dole family working with a bunch of other rich white people, working backed up by the guns of the United States Marine Corps, kidnapped their queen, I forget her name, forced her to sign over or relinquish her claim to the throne and to turn over everything.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How you doing? I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from Your Black World. And I'm going to tell you this. You know that I'm on day two of my ban from Facebook, and I had my team.
We don't want to get into that story now. We'll get into that story after the top of the hour of Dr. Watkins talking about being banned from Facebook. But so they kidnapped the queen, forced her to sign some documents. She thinking, oh, these other nations aren't going to stand for this. I'll sign them now once I get my freedom and I'm not under the threat of them killing me. You know, we'll work it out. The world is not going to stand for this. No, they let the USA Inc. Just steal those islands, which is known as the Kingdom of Hawaii. So what a lot of people don't know that Barack Obama did was through the Interior Department, maybe I think it's called, is allow those people to have a what might be called a plebiscite. But I could be wrong about the terminology. But that is where the people of Hawaii, people who are residents of Hawaii, go to vote. They had to be Native Hawaiians. They go to vote on whether or not they want to stay part of USA Inc.'s unholy union or whether they want to leave the union and reestablish the Kingdom of Hawaii. And they took, I think they might have took the vote, but it hasn't been counted because they found a Hawaiian who has totally assimilated into the system of racism and white supremacy, and some white people at Right Wing Watch found this Hawaiian living in Texas to challenge the Obama administration in court to give the Hawaiian people whether or not his administration had the power to give the Hawaiian people the right to take their country back, to use a right-wing phrase. So that's good. That's practicing justice. Another thing that deals with symbolism that he did, y'all might have heard about, that mountain in Alaska changing the name back to the original indigenous name, where it was named after a racist white supremacist former CEO of USA Inc. I think it was Mount McKinley, if my memory serves me correctly. So he allowed them to change it. So there's some symbolism. Not going to do much to overthrow white supremacy or this system, but hey, I think that's a pro. You know, we can wait the matter of it later, but again, that goes in the pro column. So can I think of anything else? I cannot think of anything else other than he's done a lot of talking, but we haven't gotten a lot of action. Some of it is his fault. Some of it's not all his fault. A lot of it has to do with the people working for him as well and their agenda. And he has never had a quote unquote black agenda. He always had an American agenda. I heard somebody unmute themselves. Go ahead with your question or comment. State your name if you so choose.
Yes, good evening. This is Jersey Girl calling out of Jersey. I think in terms of what he did, I think in terms of the Justice Department, I think they've done a lot of things in terms of trying to beef up and trying to find out what was going on in Trayvon Martin's town, and also what was that town they were finding out a lot of traffic tick violations, and you know, bringing that all to the forefront that a lot of the money was predicated on giving these African Americans tickets. That was their way of making a lot of profit for the city. So uncovering that information, I really wouldn't have known that had they really beefed up and tried to get to the bottom of, you know, what was going on in that town. I think that was Ferguson, New Jersey. And
yeah, the Ferguson report, the say, Baltimore
Ferguson
report.
Ferguson is everywhere in the United States of America. I mean, here, and I'm in a town next over from, and moved from New Jersey. We had got a report at our organization and about the whole layout, how they actually stopped people audience. I mean, it was now I can understand, because I travel those roads, although I've never stopped or anything like that. I can see they talked about how they targeted him at the intersection. Just coming into my town, they would stop him. Just going out of my town, they would stop him. Because my town faces three other boroughs, and how they would, you know, had their intersection that they would stop him. And they also did a report on how much money they were actually collecting in terms of it. So when you guys say on Abolitionist Radio that Ferguson is everywhere, I mean, that cannot, that is so, so truthful. So I'm happy that they did that and bring that to the opening about, you know, bring that to the public about how much of that type of behavior is going on. So I think in terms of the pro that. Also, let me see, anything else, Obama? I mean,
Before you move on, Jersey girl, let's just focus on that. So what you're talking about is the increase in investigations involving police shootings. A lot of those came about.
So the ticketing, the fact that we're
they came out of Mike Brown being killed, though, right? That's what initiated that, right? So what we're talking about is investigations initiated by either a white vigilante killing someone or police killing someone. But it is the just being objective. I'm not trying to bad talk them or anything, but I just want us to get a clear picture of this. Those investigations came about because of you, your organization, and other people like you and other organizations doing demonstrations, shutting down towns, shutting down highways, signing petitions, making phone calls. All of that happened because of the demand that was put on them, because power concedes nothing or does nothing without a demand. And then also in the terms of Trayvon Martin case, they found that George Zimmerman did not violate the rights of Trayvon Martin, so did absolutely nothing there. In terms of the Baltimore report, in terms of the Ferguson report, in terms of any other similar type investigations that came about after an outcry and a demand from the people that these things be done, they did produce invaluable information that we could have never gotten on our own, or we would have spent lots of money and lots of time in court trying to sue for this information under the Freedom of Information Act. So those investigations, which were initiated by the people's outcry, those did yield some very valuable information. But nobody was punished. Nobody was punished. If you want to call retiring with a pension punishment, then people want to call it that. But nobody was prosecuted when the report said that federal laws, criminal laws were broken. That is where we came up with the strategy of looking at it from the aspect of the RICO Act. This is organized crime. But the Justice Department did not prosecute anybody under the RICO Act. They just produced this report. Nobody got prosecuted in terms of Baltimore. Do they prosecute people from time to time? Yes, they do. So let's be fair about that. But what we have not done is and I'm saying this as a people, when I'm speaking specifically to the legal community, is you did not take that Ferguson report, like she said, we say on New Abolitionist Radio, Ferguson is America, and using the RICO Act laws to target these bail bonding institutes, which the SPLC just successfully sued and got shut down under the RICO Act in federal civil court. So we had to take that information and shut them down, because the federal government is not going to shut them down. They're going to put them on probation on what's called a consent decree. All right, go ahead, Jersey girl.
Okay, the second one thing is image. As you know, image is everything. I mean,
no, it's not.
In terms of imaging for African American children coming up to come to America who's not born, knowing that we had a black president, I think in the minds of them, it does give them hope.
You need to be thorough.
I'm sorry, Jerry, you're off mute, Jerry.
I think when my parents were born, they probably never thought or dreamed of that. I'm just talking about an image only. We're just talking image only, audience. You know, image, just seeing the sight of a black man being in that position. Those people to come, unborn babies, will realize that when they're learning and growing in school, knowing that they can see a black image as far as being the president of the United States. And I think that that will help them understand, you know, how we see this white person of Jesus in the churches. You know, we see this black man being in that position of power. And I'm just saying only image, only, because, you know, your image is, you know, in marketing, they say image is everything. You know, you can break or make an image. And I'm just saying just the image only in their minds, thinking, hey, one day that may happen. Or that gives me incentive that a black person can do something. And power to the young girls here, knowing that we had a nice African-American sister in the office, and that, hey, that just gives them more to see that image there to be proud of. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm agree with you to a certain extent and disagree. Image is important. That's why we talk a lot about the media. Okay. I do understand the importance of image to especially the older generation who's known nothing but bad, negative images through the media that is controlled by white people. A lot of these people have low self-esteem issues. Any child is dealing with low self-esteem issues. Yes, I would point to them. You could point to them and say, hey, if President Obama could do this, you could do anything. You know what, though? That's pretty sad commentary on us as a people that we need somebody occupying that space in order for us to believe in ourselves. But I do understand that people do suffer immensely under the system of racism, with all these negative images from white culture, from white media, which controls 95% of what we see and what we hear. It has a tremendous psychological impact. So images are important. But then when you're a young person, though, when you, let's say, a college student and whatnot, I tell my daughters, do not get caught up in the images and what have you. Look, don't look at the symbolism. Look at the action. Look at what he did. Do I want my grandsons to grow up one day and sign an order into law that is going to allow people to be extrajudicially murdered as long as they outside this country with a drone, with no trial, no charge, no nothing? Okay, and just bomb them. I want them to see this man as a role model. And then when I come across the internet and I'm doing research for a project and I see the USA Inc. Killed all these people in these non-white lands and it's under Barack Obama's name. Okay, when I see the pictures of the photos of the mass graves of black bodies in Libya that came about as a result of what this country did under that black person's name, then is that the image that we want them to see or to emulate? Is that the symbolism we want them to emulate? So we have to be careful. Reverend, just from being a reverend and a so-called Christian from a morality standpoint, for Reverend Bernice King to sit up there on the Lincoln Memorial, the monument, their graven stones and images to their gods, the great deceiver, Abraham Lincoln. And she said, let freedom ring in Libya, when freedom was not ringing in Libya, but bombs were raining down from French and American planes and being shot, missiles and shells coming from U.S. warships. A black woman actually got a medal, a black woman who's an admiral or something like that, command a warship. She got a medal for killing all those people, all them non-white people, and helping them overthrow a country that was at the forefront of pan-Africanism in the 20th century and heading into the 21st century. It's 21st century. So again, in turn, I do understand the symbolism argument, but once we get past the surface and we get down and to the meat of what he actually represents, not how he portrays himself, not how the White House press department or whoever does their videos and directs his videos and all of that, not how they present him to us, not how white people in control of black radio with black people on the radio, but they not the owners and they're not the managers. And they talk glowingly. They present this certain image about Barack Obama. But is it a 360 degree image or is it a one dimensional image? So we have to get past the symbolism. I do understand that. And that's why I don't mock people on the symbolism, especially older people, because they have been subjected to so much degradation in anti-black media. I see why symbolism is important to them. At one time, it was as important to me. It is just not that important to me. What's more important to me is that our people have a 360 degree view of the world. Their worldview should be shaped, based off a 360 degree view or lens. And so that's what I say. My mom, she's in her 60s, obviously, came up during that time, and she first got caught up in the symbolism of it. She voted for him the first time, maybe the second time too, but she had bought some of the memorabilia, the little decorative commemorative plates of Barack Obama, 44th president of the United States. But since she's been listening to Black Talk Radio and talking to me and being aware of these global issues, and not just global issues, but to know that, yeah, mom, he letting all those people out. And yeah, he said that, a lot of people are in prison that shouldn't be in prison. But do you know that while he was heralding and publicizing this change in the law where people, would not be sentenced to 100-to-1 disparity involving crack cocaine? But then when the people who had been in there since the 90s, since the Clinton administration, said, hey, that's great, I was sitting under these old laws, y'all changing the law, so that would mean I have served my time and I can get out. So I want to apply for this. I want out CEO Obama. I want out Eric Holder and the Obama administration, not making it personal to an individual, but the administration. The administration fought against the release of these slaves from having that law that he was so proud of applying to him. So when I told my mom became aware of all of these things, that those things that he was doing outweighed any kind of positive symbolism, because, my grandsons, I'm going to do my best to be a positive black role model for them. I don't wear a lot of suits and stuff like that, expensive clothes, and I don't drive a big fancy fan car or anything like that. But I think I could be a good role model to them, to where she don't need to have that black man's picture on her mantle or on her wall, that she can just have a picture of their grandfather on the wall. So that's just how I feel. Symbolism is important, or I wouldn't be in media. But if symbolism is preventing us from recognizing the truth, and then when these kids say, oh, I should be like Barack Obama, when we telling them that in elementary school, and they get up in college and they have to do a histories course, or they come across some conscious black person or conscious black historian, and then they look at what Barack Obama's legacy in Africa, Barack Obama's legacy in South America, where they overthrew the democratically elected Honduran government. Look at his legacy all over the world, trying to start a war, or participating in what it seems like the start of a war with a nuclear power, and I'm talking about Russia, based on some lies about some hacking the election when the election wasn't hacked, or you wouldn't be introducing Donald Trump on January the 20th if the election was hacked. Okay? Y'all would be having a do-over, but you're not. So it's just very important that we present the truth to our children, because then our children uncover the truth and they'll come back to us and they'll be like, I thought you told me Barack Obama was a good person. Well, how could a good person put his name to co-sign on, go on television and tell lies on an entire nation of people, which led to them being overthrown, tens of thousands of them murdered and in mass graves, and millions more displaced, and then turn that place over to a bunch of terrorists who are now cutting people's heads off on the beach. This is not Scotty making up nothing. This isn't me listening to a white talk radio. I don't listen to white talk radio unless I'm just trying to gather intelligence on them. This is just my objective analysis of his administration based on what's available. So that's what we really need to be careful of. I do want to go ahead and take a station identification break. Again, I want to support independent music. If you're an independent artist out there and you're willing to give us permission to share your music royalty free on our radio station and our streams, you can find out more by sending me an email to info@blacktalkmediaproject.org. We got to support the artists out there that's putting out a positive message, and not all the time to be talking about stuff that's positive so that we could be like, you know, thinking everything's okay, hunky dory, we partying in the park, having a picnic, and while we getting picked off out here in the streets and talking about those real issues in the music. That's great. We willing to promote, help you get your music out there, because we know corporations like iHeartRadio, corporations like Radio One, they are suppressing your music. So anything Black Talk Media Project, Black Talk Radio Network can do to help you as an independent artist putting out what I call message music, please contact me. I'm not just saying this. I want to help you. All right. We're going to mute the lines now. You'll be able to open them. I'm going to transition. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to transition to talk about a couple of these news items. The first one that'll be up will be Dr. Boyce Watkins getting banned from Facebook for 30 days, according to him. He put out a YouTube video, which was shared with me by one of our BTR family members, Matt Parthis, and so I shared that, and we'll take a listen to that and get your thoughts if anybody wants to chime in on what we hear about Dr. Boyce Watkins saying that black people are being kicked off of Facebook. Again, that's not breaking news, but we want to hear what he has to say. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, a new time slot, Saturdays from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I may change that to a 3-hour program from 7 to 10. I still have not decided yet, because my main focus is on helping many black people launch independent black media platforms and radio stations. So my time is better served towards that end if I want to fulfill the mission of our organization. We'll be back on the other side. It's limited today. Boy, you crack hard. They're getting only A to C to come back. Damn, Mr. Shane, you're the mighty queen of vows. Get a wide eyed look. And a... Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. This is Hakeem Green, Secrets featuring Getta. You're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network.
You know, hip-hop is a powerful thing. But that power can be used for or against. I love hip-hop. I said I love hip-hop. So for the love of hip-hop, let me share something with you. Listen. I got a secret, everybody come to listen. They took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons. Tricked the people into crime with rap verses and rhyme. Made a cooler go to jail, then gave niggas time. We'll brainwash the people with a marketing plan. Big brother all around me like he's stalking me, man. With his slogans and his phrases, keeps the masses in their places to accept for extermination like Logan through the mazes. It's in the book of ages, but we never read the pages till Hitler rises up to exterminate the races. Where were all the Christians when we started dropping bombs? Where was Luke, Matthew, Mark and John? They say pray to Christ, but act nothing like him. As they lead the sheep to slaughter, we get crucified just like them. Scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth. But after global warming, tell me what that shit worth. Not the price of dirt, he got me for my shirt. The emperor has no clothes and Condi dropped the skirt. So she can get it in the rear, we should have known that it was near. Osama's just a tool they use to promote their brand of fear.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build to stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam New. And this white man's world.
I got a secret, everybody come and listen. They took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons. Atlanta children missing, one man set for lynching. The murders still continue, but no one can't enlist them. What's the price of black when white is valued higher? Who's the last to get the job, first to get the fire? No one gets to blame, truth is just the truth. Most don't have a future, cause most don't know their roots. But they know flavin' hoops and they think that shit is cute. Like Beyonce in a G-string and Jay-Z in a suit. The Pied Piper with a flute, mommy getting zooped. The children's in the street and the dealer's about to shoot. The cycle goes around like the cycle going round. Snatching up our babies like the fruit from off the ground. Who tends the garden? Who watches over sheep? The priest is here to raise our souls. That's just when we sleep. I tell confessions to a beast. They say God is like the thief who comes in the darkest night to quickly snatch a peep. If I'm my brother's keeper, who's my sister's keep? Some nigga named Sugar Bear with diamonds in his teeth.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build to stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam New. And this white man's
I try to do the right thing in my life like Mookie. But I'm still a public enemy, so they set me up like Tukey. We should all stand tall like Jamal in the pen. So I call for the fall of Babylon with the pen. You see everything on time like a man named Ben. Why they call me black? That's not the color of my skin. And why they call you white if we all born in sin? That sound like a gin, out to tempt men. The devil wears a suit, but I can see it in his grin. If Jesus is the word, and the word is on the cross, and the cross is in the club, why so many people lost? Two towers down, everybody like Moss. All patriotic, but what's the final cost? What's the final cost? What's the final cost?
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build to stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam News. In this white man's world.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Want to transition here and move on to a couple of other topics. But again, anytime anyone has a question or comment, you're welcome to chime in. Just dial 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. You can chime in by hitting star star. That will unmute you. Watch your background noise, but I will notice you on the board and I will definitely come to you. I'm not so big into asking people their name or anything like that. All I want to do is hear what you have to say. So A lot of people choose to remain anonymous, and I can understand completely why. So some of the stories I want to move into, apparently Dr. Boyce Watkins of the new black, what is it, Your Black World, .net is his media empire. He also streams on Facebook, YouTube, and other places. Black independent black media producer. He got banned from Facebook, he says, in a video for 30 days. He feels a certain kind of way about the ban and some other things he is going to bring up in this video, if I can go ahead and cue that up. And I thought it was just particularly interesting when he talks about black people developing their own social media platforms. So let me go ahead and cue that video up. Hopefully it'll play right this time. Yeah, okay, there we go. Put him right there in the middle there. And we'll get that to play.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How you doing? I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from Your Black World. And I'm going to tell you this. You know that I'm on day two of my ban from Facebook. And I had my team do some research to figure out what's going on. It's very difficult. Even, you know, we have a couple million fans on Facebook on different pages. But even with, you know, the pages that are of our size, it's very difficult to talk to another person. It's also difficult to, and we probably spent maybe, I don't know, $500,000 or more on Facebook ads and stuff like that over time. And so, you know, even with that spending, I think we're still small fish. But I had the people do some research, and I think there's a real race problem right now on Facebook. Literally in the last 48 hours, about 8 of my friends have been banned from Facebook. Jamal Brewer, who runs Black Knowledge, Michael Imhotep, I think mentioned he has some problems. A bunch of other people did. You know, Michael runs the African History Network, which has a million fans on the page. And there's some other people on my team are getting banned, literally just from quoting racist people. Literally, Jamal got banned because he quoted what a racist said about LeBron James. And the Facebook apparently has these little bots that go through and they find any offensive language and they will ban you just for using that language. So I want to warn anybody that's using Facebook extensively, be very careful about what you say, because right now it's the purge right now. I mean, everybody's getting pushed off. I'm banned for 30 days. My page is still up, the People Scholar, but I don't know how long it's going to be there. So I want to encourage you to sign up on our mailing list. You can get a free e-copy of my book, It Takes a Village to Raise the Bar, if you sign up at drboycewatkins.net. That's drboycewatkins.net. Please go there and sign up, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to some people about, you know, just helping to develop other social media options. I'm going to support Moras, which is Tariq Nasheed's social media platform, but I also wouldn't mind to have something that's social media oriented for people that are interested in kind of building the future for Black America. Maybe you could still use Facebook, but you can also use this too. So I'm going to talk to some technicians, and you know, I always tell you that, you know, I'm real big about not using the white man's stuff anyway. You know, I not, no disrespect to him, but it's more so like I feel like as Black people we should just have our own everything, right? So social media, this might be the time to make that move. I don't know, I'm gonna see how things develop. You'll still see me on Facebook. I'm not gonna disappear on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and all that. I'm still use all of that. You're probably watching me on YouTube right now maybe, but I'm really gonna say, okay, now what do we do? How do we develop infrastructure in the technological space to kind of take that next step in evolution? In fact, if you happen to be really, really good at designing apps and technology, feel free to send me an email. My email address is boyce@boycewatkins.com. That's boyce@boycewatkins.com. And reach out to one of my team members. Maybe we can use this as a chance to build. So I'm out of here, guys. And don't forget, we still have that stock market class that just started. You can still join. It's week by week by week. And it's going to change your life. So go check it out. You can check out all of our programs at blackfinancialliteracy.com. That's blackfinancialliteracy.com.
Yeah, we let him get his advertisement in. And the reason I say that is, yes, I'm using his content under the laws of, what is the freaking law, Scotty? Fair use, because I'm commenting on what was said about something that was put out publicly by a public figure. So the thing that come to my mind though when I heard I don't know who the we is, or the I don't know, But $500,000 spent on Facebook and what, advertisement, boosting posts and stuff like that to raise your profile on Facebook to get more followers and things of that nature, or promoting products and services, which we have paid for Facebook ads. Towards the end of the year, we got a African and African diaspora marketing program to let them know about Black Talk Radio and opening up a line of communication between us and them, no matter where Black people are in the diaspora. But I also got to say, you know, how much money was spent on with Black media for that advertisement? $500,000. Wow. Black Talk Media Project, Black Talk Radio Network, we're a top platform, a top destination for Black people. And you spent $500,000 on Facebook and you didn't holler at a brother. Come on, man. You know, but besides that, look, for those who are not regular listeners of this program and what have you, let me just tackle a couple of his points first. All right. He said he's not a fan of using the white man stuff, right? Okay. But he using the white man stuff. But I use it too, right? But I talk about, I'm going to use it, and I give the reasons why I'm using it. I don't try to make no bones, but I'm trying to go where the masses are. If the masses is on Twitter, I got to have a presence on Twitter. If they on Facebook, I got to have a presence on Twitter. Because I'm a business like you running a business. So I understand all of that. So I never come out saying I don't like using the white man stuff, because I'll use them up if I can. Okay? Sun Tzu in The Art of War, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, if you can use your quote unquote enemy's resources, you have doubled your own resources. Okay. So, you know, I'm not going to be on here talking about, I don't like using the white man stuff. Hell, they use us. They've been using us for slave labor for over 400, 500 years. If I can find a way to leverage what they got for my benefit, for the benefit of Black people, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to be on here talking about, you know, playing games with people. Not saying that's what he's doing, but I'm not. I'm going to make no bones about it. Okay. The other part is Black Talk Media Project launched a social media platform that is almost, it's about 80%, maybe 75% identical to Facebook. Makes post statuses, make groups, create events, share stuff, import videos, import articles, all the basic stuff you can do on Facebook, btrcommunity.com. All right, you can do that at btrcommunity.com. We talk about it a lot, the host, especially Dave, also on Tando, Sister Black Rose, who hosts the Lotus Place, which is changing their name this year. They always tell people, check out btrcommunity.com. We've had that social media site up since August of 2016. How did it get there? Black people saying, not because they were banned, but Dave said to me on air, because that's where he had a little group on Facebook and he would put out information to his people on Facebook. And he was like, some of the information I want to share, I don't feel comfortable sharing it on Facebook, being that they data mine, being we know the police and CIA and everybody else, every other alphabet boy is on there trying to set people up and spy on them and see what they can see. So Dave was like, we need to get off of Facebook, was the word that he used. So without explaining why the Black Talk Media Project cannot abandon social media platforms, although we are in agreement with the harms that it does pose for Black people and all people in general, but he is right. So he asked for it, and even before him, another host, Max Parthas of New Abolitionist Radio, a Black media producer himself, said we need our own on Facebook. Man, Scotty, what can you do about that and whatnot? So I told him, you know, I'll look into it. Months passed. Then David said something. So I'm like, I had done some research and I was like, I know the software I need. I know what I need on my server, on our server, I should say, that we manage. I know how much it's going to cost for us to launch it. I put out the call because we're a nonprofit. I put out the call for people to donate. If y'all want a Facebook, similar Facebook, a safe space for black people where we can go and have conversations and share information uncensored, then BTR community, I can do it. I can do it. I know what it takes, how much it's going to cost. If you want to see this happen, then donate. So people donated the required amount, actually a little more than the money that we needed to purchase the software. And then I installed the software, customized everything for us, and still working on it. It's brand new. And we've been rolling ever since. Now, we talk about this a lot on the station. I've also, a lot of people shared it on Facebook and social media. A person in BTR community asked me today, does Boyce Watkins know about BTR community? To answer that question, I cannot answer that question. I don't know. I don't know if he subscribed to Black Talk Radio Network on Twitter. I don't know if he subscribed to Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook or Google Plus or Tumblr or any. I don't know if he saw any of the videos we shared or the Facebook page, Black Social. I don't know if he saw that, so he may not know about it. But I do know that a member of his team contacted me, a female, complimenting us on our media work, saying that we should be featured on his network, and she gonna talk to him. And that was months ago, and so never heard from him. We do interview some people that's associated with some of the things he do, because, you know, our primary goal is to get information to the people, and if anybody got information, we're going to share that information. So we do have people on this camp that have been on the network here recently. Maybe they saw the Big B, maybe they heard a commercial about btrcommunity.com, which, like one of the members told me, I need to make some more. So yes, I do need to do. See, that's why I can't do 4 days a week doing BTR news. I got to cut it down to one day. This is a lot of stuff that need to be done that is going to take somebody to do it. So I got to manage my time. So I can't say if he knows about BTRcommunity.com. I know he knows about Black Talk Radio, but BTR, knowing that Black Talk Media Project launched a social media platform that's similar to Facebook, I can't say. Y'all can tell him. I left a message in his video about BTR community. And so, but Mr. Watkins, if you see this on YouTube, because we're on YouTube, if they haven't blocked you on Facebook, you might see it. We have done that, sir. We have actually put out a call I did personally to some content creators on Facebook, and even offered to give them a free membership. Because, see, we're going to not follow the model of Mark Zuckerberg. We're not going to look for a whole bunch of capitalist investors. They got millions of dollars to invest in our platform so we can roll it out with all the bells and whistles or whatnot. No, we're going to let the members fund it. Then that way we're not controlled by advertisers. We have no excuse to data mine our members' information, their private messages, so that we can figure out what type of laundry detergent might, you know, they want to buy. We're not trying, you know, hitting them with cookies so that if they visited some website looking at some product, when they come to btrcommunity.com, they're not going to see an advertisement for that same product or similar product, because we ain't data mining and we ain't putting them kind of cookies on in people browsers. We are not advertisement driven. Nothing is free, even if the registration and you to use it is free. Nothing is free when you consider those costs that's involved. So for people who worry about those sort of things, or they just want to be in a black safe space to network with other black people who have a certain mindset about getting things done, coming up with solutions, making sure people know what the problem is, and just working on things as a community, then please join us at btrcommunity.com. It's only $24 a year. That's $2 a month. That's 50 cents a week. And it'll be well worth it. Nothing is free. And so the more people we have join, the more resources become available to where we can then be live streaming and have all the bells and whistles that you see on these platforms that have billions of dollars to invest. And when they started up, they had millionaires and other billionaires in Wall Street they could go to and get a loan to start up. So Black Talk Media Project has been in existence for 8 years, has built one of the most popular, if not the popular, black digital radio and podcasting site, not just in the United States, but in the world. And we could do that without getting a loan from anybody, without going into debt and being cost as efficient as we possibly can be. Then, you know, your money is placed, your investment in our work is well placed, I would say. Our record speaks for itself. So check us out at btrcommunity.com. In terms of them attacking black people, I only been banned on Facebook one time, and that's because I shared two pictures that somebody complained about that said it was nudity. They didn't take into the context the political point that was being made. And so they decided to ban me for 3 days. Guess what? I ain't been banned since. I know how they roll or whatnot. But guess what? I have other places to fall back on. And if I want to get, if I want to have conversations, private conversations offline, excuse me, online with other black people, particularly those of the same mindset that consume the media content of our platform and our digital radio station, I can just go hang out with them. Again, $24 a year annually, or you can pay $1 a week, $5 a month, three different options. We're not talking about we need to do this or do that. We've done it. Okay. So that's all I got to say about that. In terms of them kicking people off of their platform or being out, going after black people, well, what you expect? That's their platform. It's not your platform. You're a guest on their platform. So no sense getting emotional or anything like that. I do understand the anger when we feel like our voices are shut down unfairly or whatnot. But at the end of the day, if we relying on other people, you know, solely relying on them and not using them for what we can get out of them, then, you know, hey, ain't no sense of complaining. When Blog Talk Radio suspended Black Talk Radio, yeah, I was mad. I didn't tell black people though to leave or anything like that. I just told them what happened, and they said, well, let's boycott Blog Talk Radio if they don't bring Black Talk Radio back. So they brought Black Talk Radio back. We didn't have to serve the full suspension. But that told me right then and there about being on somebody else's platform and producing content that's trying to counter racism. And so that is how Black Talk Radio Net. Don't get emotional. Identify the problem, come up with a solution, and implement the solution. All right, so that's all I got to say. Please join us at btrcommunity.com if you're looking for a safe, secure digital space where you can talk about racism and white supremacy all day long in a censor-free, ad-free, no ads except for what you post for your business that you want to promote, but no ads from the network. Again, btrcommunity.com. That's all I got to say about Dr. Watkins being banned. He's welcome to join us. I had even offered, not him, but a couple of other content producers that manage Facebook pages that was putting out content that I agree with, but I thought was constructive and was asking the right questions and leading people to ponder on these questions and perhaps come up with solutions. I offer them free membership. Come join us, keep putting out your content. We're not telling you to leave Facebook, but hey, duplicate what you're doing on btrcommunity.com. if they shut you down on Facebook, hey, we got you right here. You know, then maybe one day we'll have enough conscious black folks join to where, you know, you don't need those other platforms no more, because who are we trying to reach anyway? We should be trying to reach people that look just like us if we're working on black people issues, black people problems, and we're trying to come up with and become self-reliant and not rely on other people to help us. I don't turn down help from nowhere. Again, Sun Tzu said, if you can use your enemy resources, you have double your own. And not that I consider all white people as my enemies, but I don't turn down no help. Long as that help does not come with strings attached. So thank you. That's all I got to say about that. Next story. Let's jump on this next story. Let me pull up this graphic for you. Speaking of police brutality and violence, and again, anybody wants to chime in, we in open forum. I got about 15 minutes, so I'm going to go through these stories. If I don't get to them, well, people can read them. They're posted in the program description. I've already talked a little bit about them in the opening of the program, but the phone number is 866-510-9025. Hit ** to unmute yourself. If I'm, it seemed like I don't notice you, say Mr. Reed or something like that, and I'll say, oh, go ahead with your question or comment. So the judge who happens to be classified as black, let me throw his picture up there for people to see that's listening to our video streams. This person, this judge, has been removed from the trial proceedings or the court proceedings involving the police officer who's been charged with manslaughter and a couple of other felonies involved with the dangerous or improper discharge of a firearm. So he's facing about three charges in total. This black judge was appointed by the, see, in court they have a court calendar. And the judges in the courthouse are assigned cases based on, really, cases are assigned a court. Courts aren't assigned cases. So cases are assigned a court. And on that calendar, that particular week or whatever is usually a week, a judge will be in that courtroom. Now, if you don't like the judge that's been assigned to your case because you've been assigned to that court, apparently in where did I, forgive me in my memory, where did this happen at? Did this happen in Cincinnati? Let me pull this up, pull up the article. The article comes to you from NPR News. That's Minnesota Public Radio. Of course, we're talking about Philando Castile. The slave catcher who killed him was Geronimo Yanez, and he's charged with second-degree manslaughter as well as a couple of felony firearm charges. The judge's name, his name is Rudy Perpich. He was appointed by Governor Rudy Perpich in 1987, according to the Minnesota Judicial Branch website. The judge's name is Ramsey County Judge Edward Wilson, was appointed to preside over the trial on Monday afternoon. But a motion filed by Yanez's defense team, which is being paid for by the Police Slave Catchers Union, late Thursday afternoon asked that Wilson be removed from the case. Under state law, again, I haven't told you where this happened to, Minnesota, come on, Minnesota, under Minnesota state law, prosecutors and defense attorneys can each remove one judge without cause as long as it's within 7 days of the judge's initial appointment. So as soon as they put the hearing on the calendar, whatever judge was on the calendar for that particular courtroom, they could have that person removed, and then they'll be assigned another courtroom and another judge. So do you get one? It's sort of like jury selection, where the defense and the prosecution gets a number of jury challenges where without reason, they don't even have to give a reason, they can strike that juror and say, oh, we don't want that person on the jury. So it appears that the Police Slave Catchers Union, a provided attorney, is striking Ramsey County Judge Edward Wilson based on what? I don't know. You have to ask them, and they're not answering questions. Now, I could come out and say that, you know, it's obvious that this judge is black and what have you. And I could say that, but can I prove that in the court of law that the reason that they look, I'm trying to teach y'all to be codified. We know some things, and I know this is talk radio, and we can talk openly and honestly about these things, but I also want to talk to you how to talk about it in a codified manner when there's non-black people in the room, okay? So, but anyway, Moving on, they removed this man. They didn't give a reason. They were asked for a reason, and they're not giving one. They're not going to tell you that it was black, that it was because he was black. And if you tell them that it was because he's black, they're going to call you the racist. They're going to play the reverse. They like to play psychological games. So it looks like they're doing it for racism. That's a far cry from me saying, or I should say for racist reasons, but that's a far cry from me saying that they're racist and they're doing it because they're practicing racism. I'm making a statement based off the observation and saying it looks like that. I don't know for sure, but it certainly looks like it. You know, they say if it walked like a duck, quack like a duck, and it's the color of a duck, then it just might be a duck. And that's what it just might be, is that they think that this judge is going to have some kind of empathy for Philando Castile and weigh more his judgment more on the side of empathy for another black person as opposed to just being objective and basing it on the facts. See, but again, how do they know that this man has empathy for black people? I don't know nothing about this man. All I know, he could see himself as red, white, and blue and not as a black judge, just like Barack Obama don't see himself as a black president. He's a president of America. That's what he said. And this is a Ramsey County judge. So we can see his skin color because we're not blind. And since, you know, we don't hear about this rule or this law or procedure being used that often, especially in these cases, having a judge removed, usually when the judges are pro-police and a lot of them be former police or get donations from the Police Slave Catchers Union to run for their election, because we're talking about, but this guy was appointed, though, in this particular position. So we don't know. We don't know. But it looks like racism. So they removed this guy, this judge, Mr. Edward Wilson, Judge Edward Wilson. He's been on the bench since 1987, according, again, to the Minnesota Judicial Branch's website. Again, Yanez's attorneys, Slave Catcher Police Union provided, did not respond to requests for comments. The Ramsey County Attorney Office also declined comment. Now, so before you get emotional about this, again, we can't be emotional when we're looking at the chessboard and we're trying to come up with strategy or see their strategy and come up with a counter strategy. So if I was practicing law and I was an attorney, and let's say I had a black defendant, let's say I was a defense attorney and I had a black defendant in a county where they like to send black defendants to slavery. Okay, and I know the judges because I've been working there a while and I'm doing my research and I'm looking at their conviction records and if the information is available, seeing the racial classification so I can see what if the national stats that we're getting applies with that court, with that judge. Does he have a propensity to send black people to prison and let white people go, or is he pretty much quote unquote fair and objective in rendering or running his court? So as an attorney, it's my responsibility to look that up. And if I have a judge and I got a black defendant and I got a judge who's known, he could be a black judge trying to show out for the white judge, or he could be a white judge practicing racism, white supremacy. And if I do not strike that judge and throw my lot back in, and hope I get one that's more friendly to my client, then I am not doing my job correctly. So I'm not emotional. I'm not angry that they did this. This reveals much to me. You know, it reveals the strategy. It's sort of similar to the strategy of the slave catcher attorneys we saw in Charleston, South Carolina, in the murder trial of Michael Slager, former slave catcher who murdered Walter Scott. What did he use? He played the race card, the attorney, to get one juror not to convict. It ain't about black and white. It ain't black lives matter. It ain't white lives matter. It's blue lives matter, which is ridiculous to suggest that a public servant life is worth more than the people they are supposed to be serving. Okay, but playing the race card, that was a very codified, refined way to make it about race while not stating racist. See, white people, white supremacists particularly, are good at being codified in their language. It is us who need to learn how to become more codified. So he said, no, it ain't about race. It ain't about white lives. It ain't about black lives. It's about blue lives. This white male's blue life mattered more than Walter Scott's black life. But he ain't put it in those terms, but that one white suspected racist juror got the message. And that's all it took, was just one to practice racism and justice not be served. So I thought that was an important story to bring up. Let me check the board. Man, I got to get out of here. I got a couple of more stories. First thing, I'm just put this out there. Y'all can comment, leave a question or comment in the comment section on the website or wherever you're watching this video. The family of this white disabled man who was allegedly tortured on a live stream on Facebook, they're speaking to the media. They are not forgiving the attackers of their family member. And we've yet to hear any questions from members of the media about whether or not these family members should forgive this white disabled man's attackers, the people who tortured him. So I don't know. Maybe the family hasn't come out and said anything. So I don't know if they identify as Christians or whatever. They say this is a Christian nation. But come on, y'all, that Christianity they practice is terrorism. So anyway, maybe these people are some evangelicals or, I don't know, Presbyterians or Methodists or Catholics. I don't know. Maybe they praying on it. Maybe they asking their God if they should forgive these black people who torture, you know. But I'm just, again, I'm not attacking the family. I'm attacking the media, because the media seems to always come up with those sort of inappropriate questions to the victims and their families, and putting the burden and the pressure on them to forgive before forgiveness has been asked for or before there's even been a court proceeding. So, you know, that's racism and white supremacy being practiced in the media that a lot of people may not be aware of. And on a final note on the legacy of the administration of President Barack Obama, like I stated, supporters of enslaved black freedom fighter Dr. Mutulu Shakur, let me throw his picture up so you know what he looks like. We just got through talking about the family members of the white male. That's the white male that was speaking for his family member that was tortured, in case y'all didn't see that. I have linked up to the source in our on our page on Black Talk Radio Network for today's broadcast of Black Talk Radio News on January 7th. Now, but this is Dr. Mutulu Shakur, who has been a political prisoner and prisoner of the war that the United States government has been waging on black people and all people trying to obtain liberty, freedom, and justice for all. As I stated at the beginning of the program, Dr. Mutulu Shakur was a member of the Black Panther Party because of the vicious, murderous COINTEL program run by the FBI with the blessings of Nixon and every other president. He was forced to go underground and join an organization started by Assata Shakur, the exile freedom fighter, and he became part of the Black Liberation Army. They framed him for murdering a police officer when, in fact, the police were out there trying to murder Black Panthers. This is all documented. There are many documentaries made about COINTELPRO. This is also in the congressional record. I don't have to tell you lies and make up stuff. The record speaks for itself. I did not create these records and produce these records. Other people did. And so you can talk to them about their veracity. So, Dr. Mutulu Shakur has been a prisoner for decades. His supporters are asking, and I should say the political prisoner and prisoner of war advocacy community, is asking people to participate in a Twitter storm, which will take place, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pulling up the information now. You can pull it up too. It is from New York City Jericho Movement. I believe Jericho is on Facebook. Look them up. But they're saying, let me just read it for you. With only 7 days left on the above date as president of the United States, this might very well be our most important and last chance to collectively convince Obama to free Mutulu. Please take a few minutes to complete the following steps for Dr. Mutulu. Number one, click on below to sign the petition. I've been circulating the petition. Please sign it. The least you can do. Follow the Twitter account, Free Dr. Free DRM Shakur, which is spelled S-H-A-K-U-R. This is Tupac's uncle. Free DR, that's for Dr. M is his initial for Mutulu, and his last name spelled out Shakur. Free Dr. M Shakur, that's on Twitter. Number two, Twitter storm President Obama on each of his below Twitter accounts. That's on Twitter at POTUS. That's P-O-T-U-S and or at Barack Obama. Number three, email the White House. Number four, call the White House at 202-456-1111. White House comment line may be closed, so other steps are very important. Spread the request far and wide to flood the White House on January the 12th, 2017. That's important for the Twitter storm to be successful. We want hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, asking Barack Obama to grant clemency to political prisoner and prisoner of war, Dr. Mutulu Shakur. He served enough time. We need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. That did not happen on your watch, Mr. Obama. But so this is the very least you can do in your way out the door, is freeing all political prisoners being held by the United States, no matter where they're being held throughout the world, and prisoners of the war you've been waging. This, not you personally, Mr. Obama, but the corporation USA Inc. has been waging on non-white indigenous people all over the planet since the existence, since this nation was founded. I'm not one of those people that I'm an angry black man. I'm very logical. I can be passionate. But, I mean, I'm not going to get angry and raise my blood pressure over your atrocities. I'm going to just point out how horrific they are. Like, for example, in one of those clips you talking about George Washington, since the days of George Washington, Mr. Obama, you're being very insensitive to the descendants and the specific victims of George Washington, one of the founding slavers who also had sex with underage female victims that he was enslaving. I think the black woman that he was stalking, or the black child he was stalking, she was known as Venus on the plantation. So again, why do you even have to mention these slavers' names to say anything? Just say presidents, you know, give weekly. We know what a weekly address. Don't tell us since George Washington. We don't want to hear about that racist cracker unless you're telling the truth about him being a racist cracker and a slaver and a rapist who almost prevented the United States from coming about with his racist ban on black colonists, free and enslaved, from being in the Revolutionary Army. And only after he allowed them to join did they finally defeat the British cause. He was outgunned. So that's, again, one of my pet peeves, is people mentioning the name of very despicable human beings guilty of human rights crimes. So again, images are important, but George Washington is not an image to be putting before anybody's children that's interested in practicing justice and not racism. That's my program. I hope that it was constructive. As we close out the broadcast, please check out blacktalkradionetwork.com, as there are other stations who may be streaming live right now, or there may have been some podcasts that are just waiting for you to listen to them, so that these black people who taking all this time out to share information, it's just waiting on you right there at blacktalkradionetwork.com. So with that said, I will be back on air with the next episode of BTR News with Scotty Reed next Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I hope that you will join us, and I hope that you will tell a friend and join us at btrcommunity.com. Just $24 a year $5 a month, dollar a week, whatever you choose. We are doing the things that other people are talking about. With that said, be safe out there over this weekend. Lots of slave catchers out there looking to write you a ticket or to put you in jail. And we have had one too many Sandra Blands. We've had one too many Ramali Grahams. We've just had too many of them. So we have to minimize the slave catcher's opportunity to put us in those positions. I'm not victim blaming, because sometimes there's nothing you can do. Wrong place, wrong time, as they say. But you can be codified, learn what that means on the network, and you can lessen the probability or the chances or the probability that you'll become a victim, because they're making them every day. I don't want y'all to become one. So be safe out there over the weekend. Donate to the Black Talk Media Project. Find us online at blacktalkmediaproject.org. And also going on next Saturday from 1 to 3 will be another Black Talk Media Project free public webinar for those interested in learning about digital radio broadcasting, digital radio podcasting platform building, or if you need those services. We'll answer all your questions next Saturday for that webinar, but you can always get a free consultation by hitting us up through the contact page on the site or shooting us an email at info@blacktalkmediaproject.org. If you're a black person looking to get into independent media, our nonprofit was created specifically with you in mind. Peace and blessings to all.